Blog Talk Radio.
Mode 1.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
If you are a single heterosexual man looking to improve your level of romantic and sexual success with women, would you be willing to take advice from a woman? There are some men, including myself to a large degree, who believe that a man should never take attraction and seduction advice from a woman. Many men feel like women's attitudes about men approaching them and trying to get in their pants is very biased, if not totally invalid and ineffective. What if I told you, though, that there are some men who have learned how to approach women, initiate a conversation with women, and ultimately attract and seduce women from a female dating coach and seduction guru? What if I told you that this woman has a reputation for being the world's top-rated dating coach and seduction guru? Who is this woman who knows how to explain all the ins and outs of understanding female psychology, has a knack for helping her clients get laid on a regular basis, and is the author of a book that was at one time one of the best-selling dating advice books in the entire United Kingdom? Her name is Kizia Noble, and tonight Ms. Noble will share some of her thoughts and secrets on how men can seduce women, and she will also share some of her strong opinions on the strengths and weaknesses of the direct approach versus the indirect approach, as Kizia Noble takes time out of her very busy schedule in order to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this A. Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race?
You do.
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, Mode 1, this is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
I don't teach guys how to spot indicators of interest so much. I tell them just spot indicators of disinterest. Direct approach is when you initially bypass the introduction stage, you bypass the comfort stage, you're going straight into the seduction stage. Yeah, I can imagine that. She's probably squeezing her thighs together.
Yeah. And why is she squeezing her thighs together?
Well, come on. It's obvious. It's because it's stimulating a certain area of her body.
See, you were supposed to be bold and say, Alan, because you're getting her pussy wet.
Alan, you're one of a kind. You're very direct, and it's all congruent with who you are. So it comes across very natural when you do it. You keep saying I was a pretender, but I was not. I was exactly your definition of a time waster. In that percentage that would I have never fucked, they have fucked me.
Ooh, say it again.
Ooh, say it again. Because it's not for me about the money, it's about helping guys.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, October 25th, and tonight I will be broadcasting an interview and conversation with a very intelligent, articulate, and charismatic young lady from London, England. I was going to say London, England. London, England. And I think both my listeners and supporters, as well as her followers and supporters, well, it's my prediction they'll be discussing this discussion that she and I had for a number of days, if not weeks or months. The conversation I had with my special guest for the evening was at times very friendly. A few times it was seductively flirtatious. And a good number of other times it was representative of a clash of two philosophies and two people with very strong opinions that they were not willing to back away from. And it got, you know, combative and argumentative at times. But overall, it was an enjoyable interview. This is one of only three or four times in the last 5.5 years I've actually not had a totally live episode of my show. What you're hearing right now is live, but the actual interview with my guest for the evening was actually pre-recorded. And like I said, this is probably only my third or fourth time doing that over the last 5.5 years. But yeah, so I already know how the conversation went. It was really a great conversation. Like I said, it went all over the place. Friendly, argumentative, sexy, so I'm sure you enjoy it. But before I get to the interview, next week I have a little bit of disappointing news. I will not be on the air live next Thursday. Next Thursday is November 1st. I will not be on the air live. I will be returning 2 weeks from tonight on Thursday, November 8th. I will be back on the air live, and I will keep you posted either via my Blog Talk Radio page or Facebook or Twitter about who my guests will be, who the discussion will be. But yes, I will not be on the air next Thursday. Next Thursday, I will not be on the air. Let me see. I got not too many of my loyal followers, but I got a few people in my chat room. I got Adam Grieco in my chat room. I got Christian Davis. What's up, Christian Davis? He's in my chat room. I got a handful of guests in my chat room. I got Chaheo. Chaheo is in my chat room, and I'm sure a number of other of my normal chat room listeners will make their way into it. Other shout-outs would be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry. Yes, my younger cousin in Detroit, Christopher Curry. My younger cousin in Chicago, J.P. Jones. My cousin in New Jersey, Arthur Ball. And, man, I'm worried about him. He's going to be in the heart of that storm. You know there's a storm coming to the East Coast. They already nicknamed it Frankenstorm. It's supposed to be a really bad hurricane, Hurricane Sandy.
And, yeah, I hope everybody who lives in the path of that hurricane will be safe and will not experience any major property damage. I see Susie Hadassus. I don't even know how to pronounce that. It's a long name. Just came in my chat room along with a few other guests. But, yeah, I was giving shout-outs. Other shout-outs would be to my friend Philip Poyum and his older brother Irvin V. Poyum III, EVP 3. Edie Lee Harris, Vanessa Turner, Paulina Long, Linda Knight, Leslie Banks Williams, Crystal Thornton, Sam Harvey, Meg Roman, the guys who I'm real cool with on the London Seduction Society Dating Advice Discussion Forum. I'm sure a lot of them are going to be listening to this interview and discussion. The short name is the LSS. I tend to post on there pretty periodically, if not frequently. Sometimes I get into heated debates on that message board, but overall they got a good group of guys. A lot of them love to egg me on and try to get under my skin purposely by trying to argue against the philosophies that I espouse. But no, they're real cool guys. My female supporters group on Facebook, much love and respect to you always. David Stern has decided to step down at the end of the 2013-2014 NBA season. If you don't know who that is, he is the current commissioner of the National Basketball Association. Speaking of sports, Stephen A. Smith is embroiled in some controversy. He's similar to me. He's very outspoken. Just like I'm very outspoken, I speak my mind without hesitation. Stephen A. Smith is that type of guy, but he got in trouble today. Reportedly, he said the dreaded N-word on his show, and a lot of people have criticized him for it. He has denied it. He has not offered an apology because he's given a full denial, but they do have, some people have him on video saying it. He said, N, please. You hear some people, the formal way to say it would be Negro, please. Like if somebody says something you don't believe or you think is crazy, some black people are known to say, Negro, please, get out of here with that. Like, and now think about instead of saying Negro, the other less desirable variation of that word. That's what he supposedly said on his show. Again, he denies it. We'll see what happens. The election is very close here in the United States. I know tonight I'm going to have a lot of London listeners, but here in the United States, our presidential election is going to take place in, Tuesday. Yeah. Not this coming up Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday. A week from Tuesday. So roughly about just under 2 weeks before the big election here. It's either going to be, so by the next time I'm on air, 2 weeks from tonight, is either going to be President Obama again as president, he's going to maintain his position as president, or we will have a new president, President Mitt Romney. I think all my listeners know who I lean towards, but I'm sure I have a lot of listeners who lean towards the other guy. Since I do have a lot of London listeners to this show, let me talk. Normally I always talk about just U.S. news, but I'm talking about a couple things related to London, like Pippa Middleton. She has a book that just came out. It's about partying. She evidently, her and her family, or maybe just her individually, they have a party planning company. So she wrote a book on how to plan a party that draws on her experiences and her family's party planning business. It's called Celebrate a Year of British Festivities for Families and Friends. As you know, Pippa Middleton is the sister of Kate, the Duchess of Cambridge. She's married to Prince William. And the book, I think, came out this past week. And what most guys know Pippa for is that she's known for having a nice ass. Yeah, she is. I'm not even making that up. She's known for having a nice ass. Like, she's talked about it in interviews. She says she's surprised that the main thing she's known for worldwide is having a nice. See, that's funny thing for women. Women can actually become known. They can become like global celebrities because of the fact that they got a nice name. Is a man known for his ass? I mean, seriously. I mean, men gonna be known for their athletic abilities. They, as far as looks, they might be known for their face or just their overall physique. But women, like, I remember when Jennifer Lopez first became famous. She was mainly famous more than for her singing talents or acting talents. Most men knew her because of her ass, because she had a nice ass. So, but anyway, that's Pippa's claim to fame, or at least part of her claim to fame. And finally, another news bit to do in the United Kingdom, Victoria's Secret models in some new marketing thing that's going to advertise some things, the products they have coming out, a new bra and a new fragrance. Some Victoria's Secret models are going to offer their advice on attraction and seduction. Yeah, right. I mean, I'm sorry. Before I interview my guest tonight, I go on record and say I don't respect most advice that comes out of a woman's mouth. I just don't. There's a few women I've conversed with over the years that have given advice I thought that was valid, and they had the potential to help men, but at least 80 to 90% of the advice I've heard that have come out of a woman's mouth has been bullshit. Like, they usually say that cliche shit, like, you know, I want a man that's nice to me and it flatters me and, you know, treats me like a princess and, you know, it's sweet to me and gives me roses. That's bullshit. If all that stuff was the key to pulling women, all nice guys, all guys who are nice and sweet would have just women just beating down their door. And we all know that's not true. So, yeah, that's why I don't give much credibility to women who give advice. But my guest tonight is going to potentially change that. She's considered the world's number one female dating coach. So I will be back after this intermission break to introduce her, and then we'll let the conversation begin. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage, and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
What you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates?
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD.
Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio Network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now. Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. I'm going to give a few more shout-outs. I see my main man, Alex, a.k.a. Don Calypso. Don Calypso is one of the old heads, one of the seasoned veterans of my listeners and talk radio show followers. He goes back probably about five and a half years because I got on the air in June of 2007, and I really more so got going in January of 2008, and I think that's when I first became familiar with Alex. He is now a father of a beautiful daughter, and he already owns a shotgun, because he don't want no guys. He probably ain't going to let her date until she like 38 years old. Okay, he might let her date at 25. Okay, she's a doll, and I always love seeing pictures on Facebook of his daughter, so a shout out to him. I got other people who joined us in the chat room. I got Ben 3 in the chat room. I got Diva, my number one most loyal listener, Diva. Adrian is her formal name, but she always goes in the chat room by Diva 362636. She's excited for the NBA season that's right around the corner. If you don't know about Diva, Diva is the, of all my friends, she's the most, just like my guest tonight is considered the top female dating coach in an industry that's dominated by men. Adrian is an incredibly astute fan of sports. I mean, most women, I mean, there's a lot of women who have some degree of knowledge of sports, but Adrian is that type of woman. You could talk to her about sports the way you talk to the fellas. You know, if you talked about a play-action fake, it ain't like she's going to look at you like, what the fuck are you talking about? She would know what a play-action fake is, and she would know the difference between a zone defense and a man-to-man defense and a crossover dribble. So, yeah, you don't want to talk shit with her
I'm telling you, I warned you on the show before. When it comes to sports related shit talking, Adrian, don't fuck with her, because she's had me pissed at her for like sometimes days, if not weeks, because she said something that pissed me off about one of my favorite sports teams or one of my favorite players. But in the chat room, we got Francisco Manzo in the chat room. I got a number of guests that have joined me, and I already mentioned Chaheo, Adam Grieco, Christian Davis. So I'm sure some other people will join me in the chat room. Thank you for listening. Thank you. Greetings to all my listeners. I know I'm going to have a surge in listenership from the United Kingdom. So to all my friends across the pond, welcome. If this is your first time listening to Upfront and Straightforward Alan Roger Curry, I'm the author of 4 books. My most notable book is called Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. Although, Mode 1 is no longer my top-selling book. And I've mentioned this on Twitter a few times and on Facebook. Starting with 2006, when I published it as a paperback, it was my best-selling book from late February, early March of 2006 all the way through December of 2011. That was my top-selling book. Now, Mode 1 is actually my second highest-selling book. My most-selling book in 2012 is my book called, Say It Again. I always have to drop my voice when I say the title of that book. Say It Again. That's my third book. It's called Say It Again, Mastering the Fine Art of Verbal Seduction and Oral Sex. Not O-R-A-L, but A-U-R-A-L, sex. Yeah, from January of 2012 through September of 2012, that has been my best-selling book. I also have a new book that came out about roughly a month ago, a little under a month ago. It's called The Possibility of Sex. The Possibility of Sex, How Naive and Lustful Men Are Manipulated by Women Regularly. As a matter of fact, the contents of that book is what led to a lot of my arguments and debates with my guest tonight. And speaking of my guest tonight, my guest for the evening was born in London, England. And she initially pursued a music career. And in 2003, and it led to a considerable amount of success for her in the music industry and led to a record deal in here in the U.S., actually. At one point, my guest this evening believed that a career in the music industry was her destiny until an out-of-the-blue, unexpected occurrence happened in 2006 that introduced her to what is known by many as the pickup artist industry. Some people refer to it as the attraction and seduction community. And after a chance meeting with a well-known professional pickup artist in London, my guest found herself first acting as what is known as a wing woman. For those ignorant to that term, there's a term that's used, particularly among people in the pickup artist industry or the seduction community, was called a wingman or a wing woman. Let's say I have a friend named Larry, and we both go out to a nightclub, and he sees this really gorgeous woman, but she has a friend that's standing right next to her. He may not necessarily want to go chat both of them up. He wants to concentrate on just the one he's interested in. So one of my duties as a wingman would be to engage that woman's friend in conversation while he concentrates on the woman he's interested in. So a wingman is, that's the guy who, when you're going out to look to hook up women, he helps you in some kind of way. I actually talk about that in my book, Say It Again. There's a section in that book where I talk about the concept of being a wingman. And there's a lot of women who act as a wing woman. Like, for example, when I lived in Los Angeles, I used to have two women that were female friends of mine that sometimes would act as a wing woman for me. They would actually help me get pussy. No joke, I would go to clubs. They would go tell women different things that would help me increase my chances of fucking that woman. So, sometimes it's cool to have a wingman
or wing woman. Anyway, I got off on the segue, but that's how she got started in the pickup artist industry. She acted as a wing woman for a number of students who were being trained by this professional pickup artist that she met. And then later, she got invited to offer some of her own thoughts, opinions, and strategies regarding how to approach women, how to initiate a conversation with them, and how to ultimately attract them and seduce them. And her advice became so popular and so in demand that soon she got invited to become a dating coach herself. So now, not only is she a female dating coach and seduction guru for men, but most people who've worked with her and have been trained by her consider her the world's number one female dating coach and seduction guru. Listeners, on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, listeners, give it up for a dating coach and seduction guru, Kasia Noble.
Hello.
How are you, Ms. Noble?
I'm good. I'm just in my office with my two dogs, and I'm going to make sure that they don't bark. So, yeah, I'm feeling good. How are you?
Oh, I'm very both relaxed and I'm pumped up for the interview because some guests I identify myself, and then I have some other guests that my listeners actually refer to me because of either a book they read by this particular person or something they listened to, like another interview. And I've been familiar with your name actually for a while. I want to say probably for at least the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
But I had never really researched you in depth. I just heard your name thrown around here and there. And the main thing I knew about you is that a lot of people did refer to you as the top female dating coach and seduction guru in the seduction community.
Uh-huh.
But what most recently had a couple of listeners refer me to you, a lot of my discussions tend to center around direct approach versus indirect approach.
Because
those are what I consider to be the two major factions, if you will, in the attraction and seduction community. And so, yeah, I've had a number of shows that dealt with that. Either as kind of an open forum discussion topic with my listeners, or I've invited certain guests to discuss who are either on the direct side, on the indirect side, or they kind of tried to blend both together. Anyway, yeah, some listeners, they were like, hey, you got to watch this video by Kasia Noble. She's talking about direct versus indirect.
Uh-huh.
So I said, okay, I'm going to have her on my show so I can see where her mind. And then after you confirmed that you would be on, I ended up getting the Kindle ebook version of your book.
Oh, thank you. Have you started reading it yet?
Oh, yeah. I probably read like 3/4 of it. Yeah.
Can I say something? So, I wrote that book in 2010. I wrote it from 2008 to 2010. It took me 2 years. And I need to write another book because there's so much material and techniques and skills that I have been developing since then. As you can imagine, you know, that's almost 3 years ago now. And yeah, so a lot of things that you're reading in that book are still very, very relevant to what I teach. I don't take back anything that I've written in that book. There's nothing I would change, but there is so much more that I would add to it now.
Okay. Well, first, a lot of my listeners, I think, probably are familiar with you and your background, but assuming that we have some listeners who've never heard of you or are totally ignorant to your background, why don't you start off by telling me how you first became familiar with the attraction and seduction industry and what series of events piqued your curiosity, piqued your interest to the point that made you motivated to want to become a dating coach and a seduction instructor?
Sure. Okay, well, I'm going to take you way back, 2006. I was in a nightclub. Guy comes up to me. He's working for one of the, you know, a very, very well-known pickup artist company. I'd actually rather not say the name of that company, but it is very well known. And he came up to me and told me that he's holding something called boot camps, and he's something called a pickup artist, and there's something called a seduction community. And I was such a skeptic. I was like, yeah, whatever, these kind of things don't work. Chemistry is either there or it's not. You can't teach it. You can't formulate it as such. But he said, look, calm down, because we need some wing girls. Not really wing girls, but just girls as to act like guinea pigs, to test out and give some feedback to the skills that we're teaching the guys in our boot camp. So, you know, I'm a curious person, and I went there, and there's two things I noticed straight away. First of all, that there were skills and techniques that actually can be taught and can help guys. And secondly, I noticed that there was a lack of a female opinion, honest female opinion. So a lot of the girls that were there were kind of giving very vague, generic, wishy-washy, nice feedback. And I've always been honest. I've gotten into so much trouble for it ever since I was a young girl. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this once and once only, and I'm going to tell these guys something that they need to hear, that their female friends are too nice to tell them, that their ex-girlfriends provided to give them. I'm going to tell them, and I'm going to walk out and not even think about it again. And I did tell them. And the next thing I know is I get a phone call from the guy who's running the company saying, you know, everyone loved you. The students want to see you. They want to book you for one-on-ones. And I was like, hey, I honestly, you know, I'm just being honest. I'm just being real with them. I can't teach techniques or skills or anything. And he found that, you know, it's very valuable to have that insight into the female mind, and that I would be able to learn the skills and techniques and come up with my own from a woman's point of view. And that's exactly what happened. And then I was getting more and more in demand, had more and more one-on-ones, doing more and more boot camp. And it's true, I did start formulating my own techniques and skills. And the rest is history, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, now, of course, you said some things that were interesting there, because I'll confess, I generally tell men, when they ask me anyway, about advice from women, 80 to 90% of the time, I always say, do not take advice from women.
You're absolutely right. Most women have the worst kind of dating advice I have ever heard. Women are people pleasers. They want to leave an interaction where everyone can say, what a nice girl. Isn't she a lovely, sweet girl? I've never, ever given a shit if people like me or not. It's just something I'm born with, you know. I just don't care. I mean, I've got my friends. I've got my social life. I don't care if people don't like me. But what I do care about is helping people and being honest with them. So I'm with you on that one. 80%, as you said, of advice from female friends, so-called self-proclaimed dating female dating coaches, is horse shit.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. My straightforward question was going to be, what gives you the credibility to teach men how to approach women, initiate a conversation with them, and ultimately seduce them? Let me ask you before I finish asking you this question. Mm-hmm. Are you bisexual?
No.
Okay, so you're heterosexual.
Sorry, guys. I know it must be a lovely fantasy out there, but, you know, I'm not attracted to women. I like men. I wish I was bisexual, because then I'd have more people to choose from, but I'm not.
Okay. All right, well, then, yeah, that lends itself to my question, is that if you're a heterosexual woman, mm-hmm. Now the obvious answer, of course, women will say, well, she's a woman, so she knows what she likes, what she dislikes, and that there is some validity to that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you've never approached a woman yourself. You've mm-hmm. never initiated the conversation with a woman with the objective of getting her in bed, so that makes me wonder, what do you think gives you the credibility if you've never dealt with being rejected by a woman, resisted mm-hmm. by a woman, and just a lot of stuff that men would deal with in their conversations and interactions with a woman?
Okay, fine. First of all, I understand rejection. I understand rejection, I understand anxiety, and I understand what it feels like to be outcome dependent. Now, that means I can relate to people. I can relate to people on a human level, regardless if they're men or women. Now, the second point I want to make is, if I was a lesbian, I have friends who are lesbian, okay? Some of them are what I call lipstick lesbians, so they're kind of just experimenting out and sort of mm-hmm. playing on a fantasy they might have. And I've got some hardcore lesbians too, friends. And the thing is, the way a woman seduces another woman is not the same as when a man seduces a woman. It's a different game to a certain extent. It's a different game. There's a different language going on. Which is why if I was a man, I would not go to a bisexual woman for advice, because it is different. I mean, I kind of played the role of being a lipstick lesbian, you know, one evening. You know, nothing happened. But making a move on a woman was so easy because I'm a girl, and the way they react to another woman showing sexual interest towards them, they're much more open to that, because it's almost like a little game. They don't really think anything's going to happen at the end of it. So when a man does it, they have completely different reactions, micro reactions to men. Now, what's my credibility? Okay, well, I do something slightly different to you. I don't teach guys how to spot indicators of interest so much. I tell them, just spot indicators of disinterest. Anything other than that is a green light. And the reason for that is because how I react to a man that I'm attracted to is completely different to how, for instance, my sister, who also works for me as a very, very good ring girl, Hadassah, it's a different way to how she reacts. When I am with a guy that I'm attracted to, I become very obnoxious. I become very outspoken. I become louder, and I'm covering it up. I'm overcompensating for my nerves, and that's how I do it. And a lot of people could look at that and say, oh, that's an indicator of interest. A lot of people could look at it and say, oh, maybe she just wants to be friends. Whereas my sister, she'll go very, very quiet when she meets a guy that she likes. She'll be very loud and over the top with the guy that she's just has a platonic relationship with. But as soon as she begins to be attracted to him, she'll close down a little bit. She'll get a little bit more quiet. She will externalize her insecurities, whereas I will cover them up. And this can be very, very confusing for men. So I just say, look, all you've got to focus on is the clear red lights. You know, for instance, a woman walking away from you in disgust. That is a clear red light.
A woman walking away from you in disgust?
Yeah, let's say a woman just looks at you and goes, oh, God, you know, fuck off. That is a red light. That is an indicator of disinterest. That's not even a shit test. For me, that's a bitch shield, which are two different things. So I say, okay, look, that's an indicator of disinterest. It's a very obvious indicator of disinterest. It doesn't mean that you haven't got a chance with her. No, I definitely not. I've had my students where girls have reacted like that to them, and they still managed to get the girl. But it is considered an initial indicator of disinterest. Another one would be if she's not even looking at you, okay? It's a very clear one. When the girl's not focused on you, she's not focused on what you're saying, she's looking over your shoulder, that's another indicator of disinterest. If we sit there and start talking about, if she's got her legs facing you, if she's folding her arms, if she's playing with her hair, that's an indicator of interest. I think we're going to start getting lost a little bit, because I know that I've had my arms folded before with guys that I've, you know, really been attracted to. And then they've told me, well, you were so hostile with your body language. And I read this book that said if girls are sitting in that position and they got their arms folded, they're not interested. Actually, it was just because it was comfortable for me. That was it. There was no psychology behind it. I was just comfortable sitting in that position, and I was very attracted to them. But however, if they had of just realized that there was no clear indicators of disinterest, no red lights, they should have gone for it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, Tasia.
Yes.
I have my first criticism of your book.
Go for it.
I always tell men that, and one thing I'm different than a lot of dating coaches in my book, like my original book is called Mo 1,
mm-hmm.
Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. And one of the first things I tell men is that there are no magic pills. There are no methods or philosophies that will allow you to attract and seduce any woman you meet. And I said, anytime you read that,
That's a marketing ploy. But I said it's just impossible. I don't care if you fucking Brad Pitt. There's just no way any man can seduce any woman he approaches. And one thing that caught my eye when I bought your book, your subtitle. Well, first let me give to my listeners the main title, which is The Noble Art of Seducing Women. Have no problem there.
No, that's
but
my
then the subtitle is My Foolproof Guide to Pulling Any Woman You Want.
This is not, you know what my book was going to be called? Men Who Make Chemistry. And my, there's, okay, I'm not self-published. I mean, this is a published book from a very, very, very big publishing company. And they have full control on what the title is. And I actually argued with them about this. And I said, look, I don't want it called this. I didn't even like The Noble Art of Seduction. I thought it was a bit cheesy. But they have full say what the cover says, what pictures on the cover, what colors is on the cover, everything. They have full say. So that wasn't my choice. And you're absolutely right. Not Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, whoever it is. They can't get every single woman. I think that's something that, you know, most people recognize. So, yeah, that's not my choice. So I'm going to blame my publishers for that.
Okay. Well, you earned some credibility points with me then, because
thank you.
Yeah, I was but as soon as I saw that, because I tell all my clients, I say, because a lot of them have dealt with other dating coaches, read other books. Like, if I call out at least one other by name, Eric Von Markovic, otherwise known as Mystery, I'm sure you're very familiar with him.
Mm-hmm.
He had at least one of his books. Well, it was interesting. At first, he had a subtitle like that on one of his books, but then a few months later, when I looked at the same book, they had modified it. So maybe he challenged them, because he had a book where the subtitle was How to Get Any Woman You Meet in the Bed. And I was like, that's bullshit. Nobody can get any woman they meet in the bed.
You know what happened? There was probably complaints. I know America has pretty strict rules about what you're promising and what you're marketing. I reckon that it was some sort of a watchdog that had said to the publishing company, look, you can't say that because it's false advertisement. I think in Great Britain, the laws are slightly more relaxed, but I would have no problem if they turned around and said, we have to get rid of that part. I'd be like, that's absolutely fine. I would rather it be called Men Who Make Chemistry. That was the original title I was going to go with. But they just said, you know, it's to do with Amazon and stuff. So many people would think it's a book about physics or something. So, okay. But, yeah, that's probably what happened with him. He might have gone and said something. But if it was doing well, the book, I don't see why the publishers would have listened to him. But you don't have much rights with the publishers, I don't think.
And see, well, I'll do a quick segue. That's one of the reasons why I personally, and, you know, we all have our choices, why I personally never, because I've got asked a lot by friends and even relatives, why did I go the traditional publishing route versus self-publishing? And there was a few reasons, but that was one of the biggest reasons, is because when you go through traditional publishers, as you already mentioned, they have control over a lot of it. Like, they can tell you to take this paragraph out if they want to.
Yeah,
they can tell you to change the title.
My ones were very good. All the content inside, they kept it 100% the same. So I'm happy about that.
Okay. Well, you have a very good publisher. Because I didn't want anybody changing anything about title, content, et cetera.
Oh, no,
okay.
Title they had full control over. I had no say in that. My idea was completely scrapped.
Now, I just mentioned one of the other well-known names in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So my next question to you is, what are some of your thoughts, particularly being a woman who's working in this industry as a dating coach and seduction mm-hmm. guru? Because a lot of women, particularly feminist types, they don't like the idea of the attraction and seduction community and pickup artist industry.
Mm-hmm.
So first, I want to ask you, what are your general thoughts on the current state of the attraction and seduction community? And then secondly, do you have any major rivals, adversaries, philosophical enemies, people that you just dislike? Maybe not necessarily on a personal level you dislike them, but you dislike what they teach. Well, first, let's start with just your general thoughts on the 2012 state of the industry.
Oh, gosh. Let me think about this. There's a lot of bullshit. There's a lot of horse shit that's being taught, and I've worked with some of the big names. I've worked alongside a lot of companies as guest speakers and so on. And I've had to filter through the bullshit. And there's some real nuggets, gold nugget of wisdom and information out there that I think really does ultimately not just help men, but it helps women a lot also. They have much better conversations with men, better introductions to men. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of affiliates going on. I don't affiliate for anyone. If I think something's good, if I think someone's releasing a product or a workshop that I think is going to benefit men, I will tell my students, I will go on Facebook, I will put out an email to my mailing list, and I will tell them about it. And I won't take a single penny from that company. And that company will sometimes say to me, hey, I'll give you money to do it. And I'm like, fuck that. I will do it for free because I believe in what you're doing. Now, a lot of the companies, what they're doing right now is they're affiliating. So they are promoting, they are pushing certain books, products, which are shit, just because they want 40% or 20% or whatever it is, commission on that product. So I think that is wrong. I think that is wrong. They've got people who believe in that particular guru or pickup coach, and then he or she is turning around and saying, buy this product from whoever it is, X company, and it will change your game forever. And then they end up buying a shit product, and you lose the trust of that guru. You lose the trust of that pickup artist that you originally went to and seeked help from. I will never, ever affiliate with anybody. And if I did, if I wanted to promote something, I'd do it for free because it's not for me about the money. It's about helping guys.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. I've had a lot of my clients that have used other people's products. And yeah, they. Now, it's funny you talk about how a lot of them work in unison with one another. I tell you, when I really lost, and I mentioned this once or twice on previous episodes of my show, when I really lost a large measure of respect for a lot of pickup artists, and I'm not going to call this person out on my show by name, even though I have privately told different people who this person is. But one time I had a friend, he told me, he said, hey, Alan, you know, there's this private Yahoo group that's made up of about, I don't know the exact number, I'd say 8, 10, maybe as many as 12 different dating coaches, seduction gurus, pickup artists. And he said they share different information about how to sell this book to customers, this CD, the DVD.
I know.
And I was like, what'd you say?
I know the one you're talking about. It's like this kind of secret, fuck it, I'll say it. It's like this secret syndicate going on that I was invited to join. And
yeah, I think was included in their yeah, it's like a group of, basically, like I said, a group of dating coaches that, even though they each have their own individual products, they also kind of work as a team, and they share, like, marketing strategies.
It's like a corporation, isn't it?
Tips on how to advertise. And here's why I really...
The corporation never cares about the little guy. The corporations, the big companies never care about the little guy, ever.
What I really disliked is that I'm sure you know that one of the things that's popular among a lot of dating coaches and pickup artists is them showing themselves in the field and having an infield video. Like a lot of my clients will ask me, Alan, where's your infield? And I always tell them, I don't do infield videos. I tell people straight up, I don't, because I used to work in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
In Hollywood, and I, among other reasons, number one, it's illegal, at least here in the States, I don't know about in Britain, but in the States, you cannot film a conversation then upload it for commercial endeavors. Now, I can do it as just a regular Joe Schmo. I can record a conversation and then upload it without that person's permission. But if I'm uploading a video that has commercial motivations to it, if you have to have a person sign a waiver. If you don't have that person sign a waiver and say they discovered themselves on YouTube, they can sue you. And so, yeah, that's at least half the reason why I don't do it, because it's illegal. And even in the instances where it's not illegal, to me it's just unethical. I wouldn't want
a woman videotaping a conversation I'm having with her without my knowledge. I would want her to either tell me, preferably before the conversation or at bare minimum after the conversation is over. But I'm not, I had a guy, matter of fact, on my show who got in trouble for doing that very thing. He was uploading videos with conversations and the women found out about it and they were upset. One woman's father went after him. Anyway, that's another story. But the thing I saw when I finally, because at first I ignored all the invitations to check out this little, I'll call them the syndicate. And then my friend who told me about it, he said, man, dude, if you don't look at nothing else, you got to look at this. And I said, what? He said, just, I'm going to give you my login and password. I want you to look at the most recent post they have in there. And it was a guy, he's fairly well known,
English
doing
American
infield videos. He was using a green screen, what they use in the entertainment industry. Like,
I know
for those
is.
Listeners, if you're not familiar with that term, a green screen would be like if I was in a movie and the director wanted to show me running away from a dinosaur, what they would really do is put me in front of a green screen and tell me to act like I'm running. And then they would put the special effect of a dinosaur when in the finished product onto that green screen. So any movie you see where it's a human interacting with, like, say, a monster or some kind of CGI-type character, animated character, what they do is they put you in front of a green screen. And what this pickup artist was doing, he was telling other members of his team or his syndicate, he was like, I'm going to tell you a tip on how to create a fake infield video that looks very realistic. He said, first, you rent out a studio, and he was in a studio, and he had a green screen, and he said, I hired this actress, and he introduced the actress, and he said, I'm going to show you how, with this green screen, I can make myself look like I'm in any background. So he gave a gesture to whoever was running it. And sure enough, when they would just click a button, one moment it looked like he was on the streets of New York. Another moment it looked like he was in a bookstore. Another moment it looked like he was in a nightclub. He was standing in the same spot, but his background kept changing. It looked very realistic. I won't lie. It looked very realistic. And at first he gave tips to the people watching. Then he went through a couple scenarios. And on the complimentary end, I have to admit, to the naked eye, it was very believable. If you were like a naive guy who, say, was a fan of his, you wouldn't be able to just detect with the naked eye that he was doing what he was doing. Everything looked real. Her acting skills were real well. The backgrounds looked very realistic. But it was all bullshit. And I was like, this is fucked up that he is going to this measure to mislead his customers.
There's a lot of misleading in the pickup community. Like I said, I don't, you know, there was a recent DVD that went about and all the companies were promoting it. And I looked at the DVD because they asked me to promote it. And I said, this is shit. I said, watching what I was watching, I said, is basically pornography. This is not really going to help anyone. And lo and behold, every student I had that had been on another mailing list who had watched it said it was the biggest waste of money that they had ever spent on a product. Two girls show you how to have sex. A lot of the big companies are pushing it, and it's just porn. It's just a porn DVD that you can download off X Hamster probably for nothing. And it's just now and again they explain a few sexual positions and what girls like. It's porn. It's basically you're peddling porn. And there's nothing wrong in peddling porn. I have no problem with pornography. But say it's porn. Say this is a very expensive porn DVD and that's it. Don't say it's going to change your sex life because you can sit there and watch you porn all day and it will have the same effect.
Now, you mentioned that you think a lot of stuff that the different people teach is bullshit. I always like specifics in my interview, so I want you to give me at least 2 to 3 examples. You don't have to, again, mention, per se, the names of the people teaching bullshit, but I want to know examples of a bullshit method or what you perceive as a bullshit method, a bullshit philosophy, a bullshit technique or tactic. Give me 2 to 3 examples of techniques you've seen taught that you would say to yourself, that's horseshit.
Okay, so the biggest one I saw was, it was a product that was coming out, but it was a method which teaches you essentially to walk into a busy nightclub and on your own and start touching up women's bums, asses, whatever you say, start touching them up, and they look around and they don't know who's done it. And you carry on doing this all the way through the club, And essentially what it does is it kind of is meant to turn the woman on, and it's meant to build her attraction in some way. And then when you get to the end of the club, you can look over at her and you can see to the ones that have responded well to you. It's something like this. And a lot of guys I know used it, and they ended up being punched by boyfriends. They ended up being thrown out of nightclubs in front of everyone. They ended up having women screaming at them and saying that they were going to call the police. And these are guys who had so much faith that this was going to work. And maybe it's worked for one or two people. I'm not saying it hasn't. But the majority of people I spoke to said that the consequences were so severe that it frightened them from actually going into a club anymore and even speaking to women. So this was teaching guys how to basically touch up women and have get a kick out of it. Now, if any kind of watchdog or internet watchdog had picked up on this, they would have banned this company, I think, from I mean, how can you tell a man, go and touch a woman's ass in front of her boyfriend and everything and not expect the consequences because there's this 0.1% chance she might turn around and go, oh, that was really nice. Did you do that? Ugh, you know, this is for me an insane, insane method. And I've had to pick up the pieces with students who've come to me, and I've had to help build their confidence again in talking to women. So, yeah, that's one that's not just horseshit. It's actually got detrimental consequences attached to it also. I mean, I understand there's a lot of methods which are high risk, high reward, but this is, I think, pushing it to the next level.
Yeah, that's I have to say, most techniques or philosophies or whatever I've heard at least once or twice before, that is a new one for me, and that's some crazy shit. Because in my book, I already mentioned Ooh Said Again. That's one of the things I say in there as a warning in my book. I say you should, because I have men who ask me, they say, hey, should you, Alan, since you're about boldness, should you ever be bold enough to, like, say, grab a woman's ass or squeeze a woman's tits? And I'm always like, no, not until that woman has given you definitely the verbal signals or at minimum some type of very obvious body language signals that it's okay to touch her. But otherwise, I do not suggest any man just walk up to a woman and then grab her ass or grab her tits. Now, one thing I do encourage, I encourage a lot of verbal boldness. But physical boldness, no, that's interesting. Listeners, I'm going to take an intermission break right now. But when I get back, I will have more questions and more conversation with Ms. Kezia Noble. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist. So I'm
getting treated for my sex appeal. This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandi L. Davis,
and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Oh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog with lots of adventures and tips. It's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome. And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls. If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you. He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from. Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
I will see you.
You will?
Ryan.
Ryan. Please do.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing, actually, in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the street. You know, chap girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. I'm going to do a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the boot camp stage if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... Just... what? Come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We
now return to my interview with dating coach and seduction expert Kezia Noble on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the number one talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. If you're just tuning in, I am talking to a woman who is arguably the most well-known female dating coach and seduction advisor in the world. Her name is Kezia Noble, and we have been having a discussion about just the advice she gives to men about approaching women, initiating a conversation with them, and ultimately attracting them and seducing them into having sex with them. And here's the thing, Kezia, that I found interesting about your book. I haven't read the whole book. I've read roughly about three-fourths of your book. And one specific criticism I have is men who will give women the misleading impression that they're looking towards having long-term monogamous sex with a woman, when in actuality, they know deep down they either want just a one-night stand, a weekend fling, or some other variation of casual sex. Because most women I know, and I've talked about a number of times in different episodes of this show, actually, women, if not women in general, definitely women here in the U.S., a lot of women are very resistant to the idea. They're either one or two guys, they're either genuinely resistant to the idea of casual sex, or at minimum, they publicly give off the impression that they're resistant to the idea of casual sex. And see, most of my clients, that's what they come to me for. I say only maybe 5 to 10% of my clients come to me looking for to score a new girlfriend or a future wife. But probably 90 to 95% of the men who come to me, they're looking for how to have more success casually, like one-night stand / same-day lay, a weekend fling, again, or some other close variation. So my question to you, given that your book, to me, I didn't feel like your book distinguished between relationship sex and casual sex. It just was kind of all in the same mixing bowl, so to speak. I want to know, is there anything you teach men differently when their objective is, say, a one-night stand or weekend fling versus when they want to have long-term relationship sex with a girlfriend?
Okay, so first of all, in my book, as I said, there's a lot I want to add to it. There's so much stuff I teach now that is, you know, I would never change anything in my book, but there's things I want to add. I teach guys how to get a same-night lay. That's my main speciality, how to sleep with the woman the same night.
Okay.
And I teach men how to sexually escalate, so that might not be done on the same night, but it will increase their chances of having sex with that woman. So let me just get it straight. You're asking me how to encourage the woman to have casual sex with him and not get involved into a relationship, or are you asking me...
Here would be my two questions specifically. In general, my first question would be, is there anything about what you teach to your male clients that's different with men who are looking for a one-night stand / same-day lay versus those who might be looking for a girlfriend? And then secondly, what are your thoughts on overcoming women who don't want to be perceived as a slag or easy lay or promiscuous whore? So those would be my two questions off the bat.
Okay, so I don't think there's any difference. I think if I have students who come to me and they ultimately want a relationship, ultimately they don't want to be on their own. They do want to have a woman that they can love who loves them back. But they want to have fun whilst getting there. They want to have a lot of one-night stands, casual sex, and then, you know, then eventually when they've got that out of their system, they'll find the right girl. And a lot of people say, well, if you want to find a girlfriend, then you can't try and have sex with her the first night. You've got to go on dates with her. You've got to show her your intention is not one of how can I put it, not a distasteful one. This is, for me, bullshit. This is nonsense. A girl will date and be the girlfriend of a guy that she sleeps with the first night. I've never heard of a girl said, well, I slept with him the first night, so now I can't have a relationship. That's bullshit. So as long as you, I think the main important thing is that you get to fuck her, that you get to speak with
her. Ooh, well, we going to disagree.
I agree, actually, with what you just said, but I also disagree. Here's my thing. Mm-hmm. I agree that I've never met a woman who had casual sex with me. Well, I ain't going to say never. I'll say it's very rare when I met a woman that had casual sex with me that wasn't open to having a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So on that end, I totally agree. What I have found and what I would disagree with is actually the reverse scenario. I know a lot of women who had sex with a guy because that guy made them think they were going to be engaging in a long-term monogamous relationship, and had they known up front that that guy just wanted casual sex, they would have never had sex. Matter of fact,
I agree with
well,
that.
You didn't say that, but I felt like you were implying that.
I'm sorry, let me repeat. I completely agree with that, but at the same time, and a lot of people might not like this, and a lot of people might think this is kind of shady, but I will teach a guy how he can encourage the fact that she might be in a relationship, or she might end up in a relationship with him, if it gets him the results.
Oh, Kezia, we have now reached a point where we are like Rams clashing horns. at least philosophically, I love you personally. But see, this is the issue, and this brings you back to Sasha and this Direct Dating Summit. This was a major sticking point with me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say this guy's name per se, but I've said it on a couple forums. There's a guy from Australia. He's considered Australia's, if not one of their top, if not the top pickup artists from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And on a personal level, me and him get along fine. But philosophically, at the end of Sasha's boot camp, this is where me and him were totally against each other. Because he told the students basically essentially what you just said. His advice to students was to build an emotional connection with women.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get the pussy, then you tell the woman that all you're looking for is casual sex.
Or,
and I was like, that is bullshit.
I never tell them to say I'm only looking for casual sex. I will never say that, because that would hurt the woman. What I do is I make it easy for them, for the woman to not want them anymore.
Well, I there's my belief. We just naturally will have different beliefs. I'm not saying you should change yours, or I'm not going to change mine. But to give you the 2-minute backstory of how Mo 1 even began, this relates to how I started being Mo 1, is because when I was in college, a lot of women who I knew would complain to me that they were having guys doing just that. They were having a lot of guys that would give them the impression that they wanted to be in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, but then once they fucked them one time, two times, five times, 10 times, they would just dump them. And so they would ask me, they'd say, Alan, why do men do that? And I'd say, oh, that's easy. Because they wanted casual sex in the first place. And they say, well, why don't they just say that?
Okay, I've got a strong counter-argument. First of all, you're probably doing the right thing, okay? All I care about is that when my students come to me, I get them results, okay? But
so you're about the end justifies the means, basically.
But take this on. This will
yes
help.
Or no. Yes or no? You're the end justifies the means.
Yes, I will do anything for
okay.
my students to get results. That's
okay.
me, okay?
Okay.
And,
all right.
And you'll go to heaven before me, probably. But anyway, so this helps girls ultimately up their own game, because I've had guys who have used me, okay, and I'm not bitter about it. I was young. They wanted one thing. I believe they wanted something more. And what I had to do is I realized I had to up my game. I had to, when I had sex with them, I had to come up with my own strategies to make them carry on wanting me, to want to be with me for a lot longer. I improved my game. I improved my strategies. So ultimately, it will help women. That's how I keep my conscience clear.
If that would make you sleep better, I ain't going to hate on you.
It does.
I just I was just going to record it saying, and all my listeners already know this, so it's nothing new for them. But, again, this is one of the reasons why I've always philosophically disagreed with a lot of the indirect approaches. Because most indirect people I know, that's what they believe in. Like, again, at this direct dating center, at least two or three of the guys, that's what they believe in. They believe that you just, it's all about just getting a woman in bed. It ain't about being honest. See, like, I'm the type of guy, if I know I just want a one-night stand or a weekend fling or just some variation, I tell women that before I even fuck them. I tell them, I say, hey, I ain't looking for nothing long-term. I ain't looking for nothing emotionally profound. I ain't looking for nothing serious. I'm just looking to fuck. And they either down or they not down.
Yeah,
but one thing I will not do is I will not give a woman the impression that I want to date her like in a boyfriend, girlfriend, man, when I know I just want to fuck her. And that's just me. Okay, now, you mentioned, so you said, now let's rewind, though, to something you said. You said you feel like there is no, well, I guess based on what you just said, there's no reason why you would distinguish. Okay, so forget that question. I was going to say, you said that there's no distinction between pursuing a woman for casual sex versus relationship. But I guess if you think the way you think, there would be, because to me there is a difference. Because for me with casual sex, like let's use you for example. If I want to just have casual sex with you, I don't care about shit like your favorite movie and that funny story about your sister's dog.
Yeah, yeah, but what if I said no then? What if I then said, okay, you've been very authentic with me, Alan. You've been very honest.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. Like I said, you've got a place in heaven. But now you've told me that, I'm going to say to you, no, I'm not going to sleep with you. That means you won't sleep with me. You'll go to heaven, but you won't sleep with the girl. For me, with my students, all I care about is that
they get the woman in bed.
That's all I care about.
Okay. Well, then that's just one major fundamental difference. Because I mentioned this form, the LSS form. That's what I was just telling somebody. I said, they were talking about somebody else in their boot camp, and somebody was saying that somebody was misleading with their boot camp, and they promised this result. And one of the things I told the guys on there, I said, I never promise any client of mine that if they work with me, that they're guaranteed to get laid. I would hope that they're going to get laid. I'm pretty confident if they follow my advice, they'll get laid. But as far as any type of, like, say, promise or guarantee, the only thing I promise to do with guys is make them become more confident and more straightforwardly honest in the communication. Underline, italics on that word, on the communication of their sexual desires, interests and intentions to women. That's all I teach men to do is to communicate their desires and interests.
I have to say, just to resonate with what you're saying, a lot of people will come up to me, a lot of students say, I want to learn natural game. This is a new thing. I want to learn natural game. So I say, okay, then I want you to go up to that woman and tell her you want to fuck her. And I go, what? I didn't say direct game. I said, but natural game is direct. There's no such thing. Indirect is not natural. You pretending that you want to talk about coffee and dogs and what she's looking at the computer is fake. I said, if you want to do natural, complete 100% natural game in the very essence of the word, you've got to go indirect.
Right? Ooh, I see. We keep disagreeing now. I disagree with that. And the reason why is because the guy I mentioned who I had a philosophical disagreement with in Vegas, that's what he prides himself on being, is natural. He's natural. But he's not direct. Here's my definition, and we all have our own different definition descriptions. Here's the definition for natural. I define a natural as someone who does not necessarily pre-plan their conversations. They can talk to a woman in what I call an organic manner. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get to the point real quick. Like, for example, this guy from Australia, he doesn't immediately tell women he wants to fuck them. He engages them in a lot of what I call just friendly chit-chat, but it's not a pre-rehearsed, scripted type of chit-chat. It's a very naturally flowing chit-chat, but he does not get to the point. Now, I'm the type of guy who does exactly what you described. When I approach a woman within 2 or 3 minutes of conversation, one way or another, I'm letting a woman know I want to fuck. I might not use those exact words like just say, hey, I'm Alan, I want to fuck you, but in essence, yeah, that's essentially what I do. I let a woman know that I approached her because ultimately I want to exchange orgasms with her.
But that's because that's your authentic self. Alan, you are one of a kind. You are very alpha. Very
I want you to say that again. Say, Alan, you're one of a kind.
Alan, you're one of a kind. You're very direct, and it's all congruent with who you are. So it comes across very natural when you do it. But someone who is not used to that or who is introverted, it's going to feel, it's going to be like a dog walking on its hind legs. It's going to feel like weird. That's my say.
I partially agree with that. I partially disagree. The reason I disagree with that is because I've taught men, and I have testimonials from men. I've had men that literally, when I first started working with them, they were scared to approach a woman and simply say, hello, how is your day? That's how fearful they were of women. And then, whether it was 2 months later, 4 months later, 6 months later, or sometimes even longer, by the time they reached the point where I wanted them to, they were pretty much approaching women just like me. Mm-hmm. And what I work with guys in, the first thing I work with guys is to get them to a point where they're unfazed by rejection. That's the first thing to me that opens up the door for you to be bold. Like you were using that example with me and you. You said, well, what if I just said no? See, a lot of guys are traumatized over the fear of being a woman saying no. I love when a woman says, as crazy as this might sound, I love when a woman looks me in my eye and says, no, I don't want to fuck you. I love it. I'd rather a woman be a rejecter than a time waster. Because here's my thing and what I tell guys. To me, rejection is always win-win. This is one of my number one philosophies. Rejection is win-win, and I'll explain why. To me, if a woman rejects me because she's genuinely not interested in me, that's a win because I haven't invested any time pursuing her. Mm-hmm. I don't have any emotional investment. I don't have no financial investment. So mainly, I haven't wasted any time or money. The second, if a woman rejected me because she was pretending not to be interested in me or she was suppressing her interest, but deep down she knew she really did have some degree of interest, that's a win because at some point in the future, that woman is going to make contact with me again and I'm going to have the upper hand. I've had women that have just flat out rejected me, say on Monday, and that Saturday or maybe a week from that Saturday or whenever in the future, I ended up fucking. Like, I remember, I'll give you a perfect example. I remember one time I was at a fashion show, mm-hmm. met this woman. We didn't talk long in person, actually. We just exchanged numbers. Then the first time we were on the phone, I was very X-rated with her. Mm-hmm. I tend to have a lot of very triple X-rated conversations with women. And at first she was into it, but then all of a sudden she was like, I think it's offensive that you think you can talk to me this way. You don't really know me, and blah, 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 blah. And she basically hung up with the attitude like, you know, don't call me again. I was like, okay. 5 weeks later, roughly 5 weeks later, this same woman called me and was literally, and I'm not exaggerating, was literally damn near begging me to fuck her. She was begging me to fuck her. Same woman who got off the phone with a huff 5 weeks later was begging me. She admitted after we fucked that she was always attracted to me, but she bought into what I call social programming. When you read Who Said Again, you'll see I punch those two words a lot. Social programming. She bought into social programming, but she realized deep down she really did want to fuck me. So she ended up calling me. But anyway, going back to rejection, that's the first thing I teach men is rejection is not the end of the world.
No.
You ain't going to die after you get rejected. Nobody's going to bite your nose off. Just deal with it. If a woman rejects you directly, you deal with it. You move on to the next woman. Mm-hmm. What's your whole idea about? Do you ever teach men to use erotically explicit language with women or no?
Yes, I do. I do.
Give me an example of something you've taught a guy to say.
First of all, I work more nonverbal than verbal, but obviously there are times when, like, for instance, I'm doing sort of sexually direct game. I will say to them, I don't know, it's probably not as explicit as what you say, but I will tell them to say something such as, they look at the girl, look her up and down and go, fuck me, you are gorgeous, or fuck what I would do to you. And I like to get the word fuck in there quite a lot.
You like to get what word?
The word fuck in there.
Ooh, like, say it again.
Fuck. Ooh, say it again.
I like the way you say, you emphasize the F. Say it again, say fuck.
Fuck. Okay, so what I teach guys, though, it's not about what you say, it's all about the timing. The timing is everything. you know, they always say comedy, the essential part of comedy is timing. And I always say with direct game or being very sexual, it's about timing also. I always believe that once you've delivered whatever line it is that you've chosen, you need to switch. You need to switch not just the energy, you need to switch the tonality, you need to switch even the conversation. Because when a guy is very, very forward with us, it breaks all the rules. It breaks all the rules that we've grown up having to follow. You know, guys are not allowed to be sexually explicit with you. You know, if he's sexually explicit, he's a pervert. And this is all bullshit. But
now we're agreeing.
No, I totally
agree with that.
There's no such thing as a creep. I have a whole, you know, there's no such creepiness as an illusion that is conjured up from nerves, feeling ashamed, being apologetic about your sexual intention. And then it creates the illusion of creepiness. Because if you ask a woman, it's very hard to quantify what creepy is. If you ask women, what is a creep? They'll give you a whole assortment of different answers. They'll tell you it's a guy who's very sexual. Well, in that case, we're all fucking creeps, aren't we? All of us are creeps. I know I love sex. I must be the biggest creep in the room. So I think creepiness is just an illusion which is conjured up from nerves, being ashamed or embarrassed about sexual intention. That's what makes a guy creepy, for lack of a better description. So for me, before she starts to use that brain and starts going tick-tock, and responding by either laughing, a lot of girls will laugh because they need to establish control over the situation, or they'll turn around and say, oh, you're a creep, because that's what they have been told you need to respond.
Exactly. See, now you speak in my language. That's, you and I are definitely on the same page in this area. Everything you said, I'm in total agreement with. As you just said, that's what I call social programming influences.
It's completely, because I've had guys, and they've come up to me, and they've said the most, you know, something very erotic to me, and I've enjoyed it, and I watch myself. I like to work out. I like to be really in the moment, so I can remember that for later. And I enjoy it. It's this moment, literally a fraction of a second of sexual, an intense sexual connection going on. But if they leave it too long, my brain's going to come in, and it's going to destroy everything. And I've done it to guys. I've gone, ha, 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 and I've laughed in their face, you know, ha, ha, fuck off. Because that was what I was programmed to do. And I've regretted it after. I've looked back, I've analyzed how I felt and thought, why did I do that? So timing is everything. Timing is everything when it comes to sexually direct approaches or statements or compliments.
I agree. Again, we're on the same page here. Matter of fact, probably the number one section of your book that I had probably from what I read that I had the most agreements with is, like, if you were to look at the cover of my first book, Mo 1, you would see that my eyes are on the cover.
No, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, and even though most of my advice, honestly, is probably 90-95% of my advice is towards verbal communication, the one most powerful form of nonverbal communication, I believe, is powerful. Direct eye contact, and second is what you just mentioned is quality. Like when you read Who Said Again, you're going to see I spend a lot of time talking about men training themselves to improve the quality and tonality of their voice, because that's probably one of the most underrated tools of seduction a man has is their voice.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many women who I fucked when we would talk about, like, a lot of times I like to ask women, like, okay, what was the key thing that made you say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and give him the pussy? Was it my looks? Was it, you know, this, that? Almost all the time they say, oh, it was your voice, the way you used your voice with me and your ability to talk dirty. Your voice you have. Like, for example, next to physical sex, one of my favorite things that you'll also see me mentioning, Who Said Again, I have a thing for phones. I love phone sex.
Mm-hmm.
I've had phone sex probably in the last 15, 20 years. I probably have phone sex with about 1,600-1,700 women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I get women into phone sex, because they'll say, oh, your voice, Alan, you just,
You just, yeah, so you could say, I always tell guys, you could say the same exact thing to say three different women, but if you use three different voices, your reactions could be totally different. Like, I could say to you, Kenzie, oh, shit, I just want to slide my dick all in your pussy. Just fuck the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Versus saying a real high energy, hey, Kenzie, I'd love to fuck you. Oh, my God, I'd love to fuck the shit out of you. See, that second one is not sexy fucking at all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when you have that even tone, like, oh, shit, I slapped that soft ass while I'm sliding my hard, juicy dick in that pussy. Fucking the shit out of you. Titty fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, that gets women's pussy wet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the another thing I tell guys, you can't put the cart before the horse. Before you can fuck any woman, there's one mandatory prerequisite to fucking a woman. You got to get her pussy wet.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get her pussy wet. So that's one of the things I have guys concentrate on, is not so much the actual act of sex. I feel like once you got a woman's pussy wet, you're over half the way towards your objective of fucking a woman. But you got to get a woman's pussy wet.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it either way. Some guys will say you can do it strictly through nonverbal means, and I don't totally disagree with that. I think the best way, though, is a combo. It's a combo of verbal and nonverbal. But if I had to lean towards one or the other myself,
mm-hmm.
I definitely lean towards verbal. I've gotten a lot of women's pussies wet just by talking to them, talking about putting my tongue all on the clit,
mm-hmm.
sucking it into my mouth, and
mm-hmm.
you know, talking about sliding my nice juicy dick in and out real slow, not too fast initially. Kind of what I call dancing in the pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to a woman about how I'm dancing, I'm slow dancing her pussy. She's going to feel my nice juicy dick hitting her G-spot to the point where she's going to want to squirt. And
love it.
What did it have just made you chuckle? I want to
do. Your voice is so rich. Your voice is deep. You know it.
I cheat a flatterer. I have four books out, and that's my third book. It's called Ooh, Say It Again, Mastering the Fine Art of Verbal Seduction
mm-hmm.
and Oral Sex. Not O-R-A-L, but A-U-R-A-L, sex. And anytime I'm talking to a woman on an individual level, and she says something that I perceive as kinky or out of her normal character, or it could be something just flattering to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, oh, say it again. And they'll usually say it again. And, yeah, over the years, starting with the mid to late 90s, women would always make comments. They say, Alan, you always say it again. You should have a book with the title just called, oh, say it again. And for years, I laughed at that. But then, actually, that did end up becoming, yeah, that's the my...
Sorry for interrupting. This book is about verbal escalation only, or does it explore nonverbal also?
Well, that's a good question there, Kasia.
Say it again.
It's about 3/4 verbal, and I'd say about 20-25% emphasis on nonverbal, and that brings me actually to the point I was going to get to. The one portion of my book that actually came in large part from women is the chapter where I'm talking about body language signs to recognize in a woman in two scenarios. One, body language signs to recognize that a woman just loves to fuck, period. Yeah, so I give at least one or two body language tips for men to recognize on women who I would say are free-spirited, open-minded, and just basically down to fuck versus, say, a woman who's a real conservative prude type. And then I give body language signs to recognize at different points during a conversation when you know you're getting a woman's pussy wet.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, well, two things. Again, one is that women were the ones who years ago clued me into these various signs. And secondly, women who've read the book have even said, wow, I do those things, but I was not consciously aware that I was doing them. But I have to admit, Alan, I do those things when I find myself getting turned on by a guy. Like, I give you two. One is, like, and you see this a lot of times in marketing advertisements, where a woman's tongue will be out her mouth, usually to the side, and touching her upper lip. Well, that's a sign I have noticed when, usually when I'm in the process of seducing a woman, and I would say, I know I got her pussy moist,
mm-hmm.
her tongue will become much more active than it was prior. It will just start finding its way outside of her mouth, and she will usually kind of like lick her upper lip, sometimes in the middle of her mouth, but usually to one side or the other, either the right side of her mouth or the left side of her mouth. The other thing is when a woman's sitting down, if you get a woman sexually aroused, she will start, her legs will become more active, almost similar to when a woman has to use the bathroom. She will start crossing and uncrossing her legs at a more frequent pace than she was before she got aroused. So,
yeah, I can imagine that. She's probably squeezing her thighs together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And why is she squeezing her thighs together?
Well, come on. It's obvious. It's because it's stimulating a certain area of her body.
Now, see, you were supposed to be bold and say, Alan, because you're getting her pussy wet.
This is the X-rated version of the usual podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I have a show where I do. It's pretty much all X-rated. I'll send you a link to it. It's called The Erotic Conversationalist, and on that show, now I can get provocative on upfront and straightforward, which I have, depending on what the subject matter was.
Mm-hmm.
But Erotic Conversationalist, yeah, that's, matter of fact, the listenership to Erotic Conversationalist is like 95% to 99% women, and the main reason they listen to that show, literally, is the play with their pussy.
Like, really?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was just saying this on my show. What's interesting, like upfront and straightforward is a weekly show.
Mm-hmm.
And Erotic Conversations, I only do that. I only do an episode of Erotic Conversations about once every 3 to 4 months. But do you know, if I was comparing email feedback I get per episode, it would be no contest. Like, for example, the last episode of Erotic Conversations I did was in mid-December of last year, yet almost on a weekly basis, I get email feedback or Facebook feedback from women that say, "Oh, Alan, you had my pussy so wet in that last episode of the Erotic Conversationalist. God, you, that was hot." And yeah, that's why I started that. To give you the quick story on that, I started that because it actually started on Blog Talk Radio. There was this woman named Alexis. She used to have a show couple of years ago on Blog Talk Radio, and there was about a 2 to 3 month stretch, 2 to 3 month stretch where she would always want me to be a guest co-host. And at the time on this show, Upfront and Straightforward, I was very tame. I would be maybe provocative every blue moon, but generally I was PG-13. But mm-hmm. on her show, I would be real nasty. And she said, "Oh, Alan, what is up?" I said, "What you talking about?" She said, "Do you know I'm getting just dozens of emails from my female listeners whenever you guest co-host, and they say you say stuff that just leaves them wet." I said, "Really?" She said, "You need to start being more nasty on your own show. I guarantee you your female listenership will go up." And at the time, we kind of laughed about it. And then I was having a conversation with this woman that was a public relations agent. She was trying to pitch her services to me. And in the middle of the conversation, a female friend of mine sent me this porn clip that was pretty hot. She wanted me to give an evaluation of it on a 5-star scale. And I started looking at it. It was so hot that I started stroking my dick in the middle of the conversation.
Joking.
The PR rep, you said what?
You're serious?
Oh, I'm serious, yeah. I started jacking off in the middle of my conversation with this PR rep, and she could tell. She said, "You seem distracted." And you know me, I'm very upfront and straightforward. I said, "Oh, this female friend sent me this porn clip, and it got my dick hard." At first, she was like, "Oh my God, I don't believe you just said that. This is our first conversation." I was like, "I don't give a fuck. I was like, I'm stroking my dick.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what am I doing? She said, you said you're stroking. I said, say it again.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you said you're stroking. I said, say it again. She said, you're stroking your dick. I said, now, put your fingers between your legs and start playing with your pussy.
And she did it, oh yeah?
And she did it.
Oh.
And she loved it. And here was the kicker. Afterwards, she was so fascinated by my ability to segue that quickly from a non-sexual to a sexual conversation that she said, Alan, I'm going to do something that's very interesting. I said, what's that? She said, I'm going to tell like three or four of my girlfriends to call you and ask you questions about your book.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, I'm going to be on the line listening. Now, they're not going to know that you know I'm on the line, but I'm going to be on the line. I want you to see if you can get them to segue from just talking about your book to playing with their pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, Kezia, I actually underestimated myself. I told her, I said, well, if you have four of your girlfriends call me, I will probably have at least two of them playing with their pussy by the end of the conversation. She had five women call me, and all five of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some took longer than others, but all five of them, by the end of the conversation, I had them playing with their pussy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the quickest was about 20 to 25 minutes into the conversation, and the longest was about an hour and a half into the conversation. But, yeah, all five of them. And that's when she said, similar to Alexis, she said, Alan, you know what you need to do? You need to have, like, a second show where you talk to women strictly about stuff to do with fucking.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point in the conversation, you try to get them to play with their pussy. She said, that would be a hot show. And anyway, that's how I came up with the idea for the Erotic Conversationalist. But again, I've only done, over the last two and a half years, I've only done like 8 episodes of that show.
Mm-hmm.
But I get more, again, I get more feedback per episode. Like I say, on the average, upfront and straightforward episode, I might get, I don't know, 15 to 20 emails either saying they love the episode, disagree mm-hmm. with something that was said in the episode. Erotic Conversationalists, I probably get like 100 to 150, if not more, responses, and 99% of them are from women.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
And, I don't know how much time you've spent around American women, or for that matter, women of a number of different countries, but I've had certain guests on my show that have said that they've noticed differences in that relate to approaching women, being sexual women from country to country. Some countries are more open-minded and more erotically uninhibited. Some countries are more inhibited. Based on just your experience, would you say that there's any distinct differences between the way a British man approaches a British woman versus a U.S. man approaching a U.S. woman?
Yes. I've done a lot of boot camps in Los Angeles, and I've done some in Las Vegas. And what I find is that initially American women are a lot more socially confident. People in America are more socially confident. You know, you can sit in a bar and it's very normal for a man or a woman to start to strike up a conversation. And people are generally more friendly to each other. Whereas in England, people are a lot more socially uncomfortable. They have a lot more social anxiety. We call it the English disease. They have a lot of disease with who they are, how they should be sitting, their body language. I mean, only in England can you run over somebody in your car and they'll say sorry to you. You know, it's that kind of polite, don't make eye contact, don't talk to anyone out of your social circle. So what I find with my students in America is it's very easy. The approach, getting into a conversation with a woman in America is 20 times more easy than in England, which is why in England we have a huge problem with alcohol. People are so uncomfortable with how they're taught, they're so uncomfortable socially that they have to drink. And when they're drinking, they're a lot easier.
they're a lot easier to communicate with and be around. But obviously, they start drinking to the point where, you know, you're not having even a normal conversation anymore. There are definitely differences. I find it's easier to close English women than American women. American women tend to, because there's so much more competition out there, they're not, you see, in England, you can be a girl and you can stand in the club and only one guy can approach you the whole night and you'll be a beautiful girl. I've seen it. Beautiful girls just standing there. And American men go, you know, what the fuck is going on? Why are no one speaking to this girl? Because they don't have that go-for-it attitude that the Americans have been indoctrinated with since we're young. So I do find that once it does happen, they're easier to close the girls. But in America, there's a lot more competition. Every guy is talking to them. You know, it's more opportunistic. You get out of your seat, it's much more likely another guy is going to be sitting in your seat when you get back than in Europe. So they have more options, the American women. I don't know about relationships. I heard it's pretty difficult in LA, my friends tell me, to find boyfriends. So maybe that's why they're putting up a resistance to begin with, because they're looking more long term to have a boyfriend.
Well, no. I lived there for 6.5 years. Here's my take on LA. As with any city, you got your quality women. You got some good women there. On a very positive end, I will say LA has arguably the highest number and or highest percentage of good-looking, sexy women, I think, of any city in the U.S. Now,
yeah.
Some of my friends will argue
Miami.
That New York is just as good as LA or Miami. But I've been to all three cities. I say L.A., if only by a slight margin over New York and Miami, has the baddest women in terms of physical appearance and sex appeal. So that would be on the complimentary. On the critical end, L.A. also has what I would say is the highest percentage of gold diggers, tension whore, cock teaser type women.
Mm-hmm.
Women who... they will have their certain percentage of guys that they genuinely want to hook up either for a long-term relationship or maybe even just for casual sex. But there's a lot of guys that LA women will look to just exploit. And this is not just my opinion and perception. This is from women's mouths themselves. Like, I used to work at a couple of the movie studios, and the women would tell me. They would, like, sometimes that would be their sole objective for going out. They would say, yeah, I'm going out so I can flirt with guys to motivate them to buy me free drinks, and I'll laugh at their jokes, and I'll engage in, you know, entertaining conversation with them.
Yeah.
But then I'll tell them, maybe I'll see you around. And that's what has a lot of guys frustrated, because you have so many of those types that are just looking to fuck with guys' head. Again, looks-wise, you can't. L.A., like, I did have one guy who experienced both from the male end. He's a Brit who I met on that message board I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a brother too, and he even acknowledged. He said, "Yeah," he was like, "Man," he's like, "Women here in the U.S. are different than the British women in terms of being shallow, superficial, and looking to exploit guys." He was like, "Yeah, there's a clearly higher percentage of those type of women in your country than there are in mine."
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he was like, "I was only there for like 2 or 3 weeks, and man, almost half the women I was meeting were like of that type of nature." And I was like, see, I told you. So yeah, it's interesting. It's funny, you know, when I meet Europeans, a lot of them will call Americans, they consider us to a degree prudish. They're like,
you guys are
kind of uptight.
Americans are prudish in certain things like your TV shows and stuff like that. And you've got areas in America which are very, very, very religious, you know, very Christian areas, and you know, for instance, you don't allow America, many states don't allow gay marriage and so on. And I think that we hear these things here, and we're much more liberal when it comes to, you know, gay marriage. But it's more of a socialist country here, so we're not a massive fan of religion in the UK as such. So I think that we just kind of generalize and say, oh yeah, Americans are prudish. It's not the case. I think it varies from state to state very much. I tell you, when I was in Los Angeles, I didn't see any signs of prudishness, that's for sure.
Okay.
one thing my listeners know I do with guests is my first book, again, is called Mode One, and that's just a code term for confident, upfront, straightforward honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a habit with my guests of asking them to stretch out the O's in the mode so that you say, Mode One. And I want to get your sexiest. Mode One.
Now you're asking me to do it sexy. It's going to come out all wrong. Okay, here we go.
Mode One.
Mode One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode One. Up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode One.
Mode One.
I'm going to take my second and final intermission break. Listeners, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back in about 3 or 4 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Danger Sleep. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times bestselling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavored Soup, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward in Mode One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode One.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what? Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
So listeners know there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront
now return to my interview with dating coach and seduction expert Kasia Noble on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the number one most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. Tonight, my special guest is considered the number one female dating coach and seduction advisor in the world. Her name is Ms. Kasia Noble, and I keep wondering if I'm pronouncing it right. Is that the right Kasia?
No, you're not pronouncing it right, but it's all good. No.
Well, tell me, what is the correct pronunciation?
It's Kasia.
Kasia.
Yeah.
Kasia. Okay, Kasia Noble. Okay, I was running. Okay, so there's no G. I've been having that G in there. It's just Kasia.
Yeah.
Kasia Noble, and that's my special guest, and we're just discussing her general thoughts on the seduction community, what her particular expertise is, and now I'm going to ask her some questions which are related to the primary reason why I invited her to be a guest, because as you know, listeners, I have a lot of episodes and discussions that deal with direct approach versus indirect approach. As most people know, I'm definitely more in the direct approach faction, but I have had guests who have more so espoused indirect methods and philosophies and teachings, and even one or two guests who kind of believe in a blend of the two. So my question to you, what is your very specific definition of a direct approach? And then the secondary question would be, what do you perceive as the advantages and strengths of the direct approach, and what do you perceive as the drawbacks or weaknesses of the direct approach?
Okay.
So first, your definition. What's your specific definition of a direct approach?
Direct approach is when you initially bypass the introduction stage, you bypass the comfort stage, you're going straight into the seduction stage. So really, essentially what you're doing is you are going against all the kind of normal, you could say, the normal sequences that people have in an interaction of when they meet someone. You're bypassing that. You're going straight to seduction. I say initially because I always believe that at some point you are going to have to go back to having a conversation at some point or introducing yourself, but it's initially bypassing the protocols, you could say, or the rules that we've all been brought up with when introducing ourselves and seducing people. So that's direct. There's different levels of direct. There's a direct going, hey, I think you're gorgeous. Then there's a direct, which is you go up to a girl and you go, oh, fuck what I would do to your body. So it depends if one's there's sexual direct, and then I think there's just direct, if you could say that. Indirect for me is, you know, going in there with an excuse to talk to her without showing your intention verbally or non-verbally. I'm a big fan of both of them. I prefer direct game in the daytime. For nighttime, I like indirect and direct.
Okay. Explain why that's so.
Excuse me?
I want you to explain why you prefer direct over indirect in the daytime and why you prefer a blend of the both at nighttime.
Oh, it's pretty simple. For the direct for day games, because it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to just, you can waste a lot of time doing indirect game in the daytime. I know I've had guys come to me and, you know, oh, is it, yeah, you know, what are you looking at on your computer when I have my laptop out at a Starbucks or something? You know, they'll sit there for half an hour. I'll be talking to them because I've got nothing else to do, or I'm bored, or I think the conversation's quite interesting. And then after half an hour, they spent their lunch break and they ask me for my number and I say no. So the day game, I think, you can waste a lot of time doing it. And the girl is always going to be kind of suspicious. in the daytime when a guy's talking to her anyhow. So I think, well, fuck it. Just go direct. Just show her your intention straight away. Can't be sexually direct in the daytime. I don't encourage that. I don't know if that's something you encourage. Something I certainly don't encourage.
You don't encourage what?
Sexually direct in the day game. I don't
know. Oh, yeah. I'll let you finish, but then I'll tell you what I...
Okay, cool. So for me, direct in the day, I use this. I teach my students to use this. You go up, you say, this is random. I always say, this is random. Never say, I was watching you drinking your coffee or something, because I was watching you says, I'm a stalker. I've been lurking around. It's very important just to make sure that you're using the correct words. So this is really random, but I wanted to come over and say, you know, you look like, I always have a few good compliments that you can give a girl in the daytime. You look like a modern version of Audrey Hepburn. You know, girls seem to like this one quite a lot. You look like a sophisticated version of Paris Hilton. Could be something like this. You can sense her reaction if she smiles and she's not just walked away. If she smiles, it's on. It's on. Then false time constraint. I've got to get back to my friend. Always give your friend a name because it sounds more realistic then. It sounds like you're being more truthful when you say that. And then again, say this is random. I tell you what, let me tell you three things about me and you tell me three things about you. And girls, I find most of the time really respond well to that. So it's a shift. You see, it's a shift from direct seduction stage, you could say verbally, straight back to mid game, straight back to that kind of intro transition point to mid game. And when you say, look, I'll tell you three things about me, you tell me three things about you before I go. She says, okay, she's agreed to it. You always give three things about yourself first. You never let the girl go first. Because if the girl goes first, she will say to you, oh, my name's Louise, I'm 22 years old, and I am a secretary. And you're like, okay, shit, that's not really going to generate a very interesting conversation. So you always have three pre-planned things about yourself. And I would like to always get my students to put in there something, a future, something about the past, present, and future, to come across a little less one-dimensional. And what happens is you literally inflict the conversation with a ton of interesting stories and hooks, and then it's over to her, and she has to match. She has to match that excitement. She has to match how interesting she is. But, you know, obviously you've pre-planned it. It's going to be a lot harder for her, but that forces her to start investing emotionally and investing in the interaction mentally also. That's why I like direct game. It's very strategic, it's very straightforward in the daytime, and it saves a lot of time, because usually a lot of guys, they're working, right? They're not all pickup artists where they could go around the daytime, so they're working, they've got a lunch break of an hour and a half, not like in a nightclub where you've got 6-7 hours sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Direct or indirect in the nighttime.
Okay, why do you endorse indirect in the nighttime?
But by the way, I teach both. I think 100% both can work. It's personally what I prefer, okay, what I prefer, and it's for logical reasons. When you're in a nightclub, you can't get away. You're not like in the daytime. Someone uses a direct line and you're not happy with it and you don't like the feeling it's produced. You can walk away. In a nighttime, what happens is you know you're going to be stuck in the same venue with this person for, you know, another 3-4 hours, and you're going to bump into each other again. So if someone says to me, they come up to me and they say something direct, and I'm a confident person, I can handle compliments very, very well, so I'm even looking at it for someone who's not as confident, and he turns around and says, oh, you're gorgeous. Now she initially might think this is quite nice what he's doing. She might it might produce a warm feeling inside her, which is certainly the case many times, what a direct compliment does for women. But there's a part of her, there's a logical part of the brain that's saying, hey, if he turns out not to really be an interesting guy, or if it turns out that I'm not attracted to him in any way, by me showing him a green light of any sort or any kind of interest after he said such a line, I won't be able to get rid of him so easily. Girls really do think about this. Guys don't have this problem so much about getting rid of a girl. They might want to get rid of a girlfriend more often than girls want to get rid of boyfriends. But for the evening, girls are always thinking about 3 hours ahead because we've had guys hang about us and we cannot get rid of them. They're orbiting us. We cannot get rid of them just because we were initially responsive to his compliment at the very beginning. So I teach my guys when they give a direct compliment in the nighttime, they should hold it for at least just a second, no more than two, because that's when the logical part of her brain starts coming in. That's when she starts funny kinds of reactions, negative reactions, because that's what society told her to do, and she's pre-planning what to do in case it doesn't work out in 3 hours. That's how women are. So I always say to guys, you say the direct compliment unapologetically, and then you switch it. You let her enjoy that moment for like a second, and you switch it to introduction or mid-game. That's in a nutshell, really. There's obviously a lot more sort of micro-reactions and things that I can teach, but that would take a few hours.
Interesting. Well, let me ask you, are you familiar with my books and what I teach?
I've watched a couple of your videos. I saw a video of you and another pickup artist, an older man. I've forgotten his
name. David X.
Yes, David X. That was it. It was David X. And you had two girls on stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the direct. Yeah, that was in your neck of the woods. That was the first direct dating summit in London. That was in November of 2010 because I got invited by David X. I'm very critical of all indirect game. Not in the sense, though, that now I always do tell guys, if your objective is strictly just generally to get a woman in bed, I know indirect methods that will work. So in terms of its effectiveness towards getting women in bed, I think indirect can be generally effective.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I think the biggest thing is one thing you've already mentioned. This is probably my single biggest criticism against indirect compared to direct. It's just too time-consuming.
It
requires too much. And that's what I tell guys when guys ask me about, you know, my thoughts on direct versus indirect. The first thing I ask them, I say, well, how important is time? Time and money to you. If time is no object to you and money is no object to you, that's when I say, you know, investigate indirect. Try it out. Mm-hmm. See how it works out for you. But I'm a person, I like to get to the point. I like to just...
Yeah, but Alan, can I interrupt you for a second? That is... I can tell immediately that that is something that is very congruent of your personality. If I was a man, I'd be going direct all the time because I'm impatient. I know what I want. I'm alpha. It's congruent with me. There are some students that I get, it doesn't fit well with them. You can feel it's like squeezing a circle, a square into a circle. Now, eventually, they're going to evolve, they're going to get better with women, and then they can do direct. They're in a much better position to start doing direct. I have trainers, I have instructors on my team. I've got a team of 25 instructors, and three of them will only use direct. They're like you. They don't want to use indirect, and that's cool. That's fine. But there are some people, like, for instance, I'll get some guy, and he comes from Luxembourg, and he's had a strict, strict Catholic upbringing, and he's got all these kind of religious, you know, religious related insecurities and stuff. So we have to start somewhere, and indirect, it can make you more confident with women, more used to women. And if you get results with indirect, eventually you will want to go to the next step and do direct.
I hate small talk. I don't waste any time with small talk, but I realize, similar to what you said, I'm not in 100% agreement with what you said, but I do realize that some guys come from different backgrounds or they're just generally inexperienced. So I don't have guys go full throttle if they're a novice. But at the same time, even with my what I would call novice-type clients, I still advise them to diminish at least 80 to 90% of what I call their trivial, bullshit, entertaining small talk. Because...
Okay.
One of the known reasons why I'm against indirect is, and you alluded to it in some of your comments, when you were talking about approaching like in a day, and you said, I want to say you said there was an example where it could be a guy would be chatting you up only for you at the end to say, I'm not interested or I got a boyfriend or whatever. And that's, again, that's another one of the reasons why I'm against indirect is that I've seen a lot of guys approach women. They'll engage a woman and say a 20-minute conversation, 30-minute, 45-minute. But because all their conversation is centering around just kind of lighthearted, entertaining chit-chat, when they finally get to the gist of why they approached them, which is to ultimately hook up with them, they'll say, you know, hey, you know, I think we should get together sometime. Won't be like, oh, I'm sorry. I really enjoyed the conversation, Brian, but I don't have my ring on my finger, but I'm actually married. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. And then the guy in the woman's face, he'll be cordial. He'll say, oh, you know, well, it's good talking to you anyway. But as I always tell women, what happens when you're the guy, if you're that guy's friend, I get calls from guys saying that scenario. And they'll be like, man, Alan, I could beat myself and I'll say, what's up, man? Man, I was just at this social event, man. I was talking to this woman for like an hour, man. And then at the end, when I suggested, you know, we get together, she was like, oh, you know, I just got back with my ex-boyfriend. Man, I wasted a fucking hour talking to her. And the first question I say, at one point, did you first let her know you had an interest in sharing a company in some type of romantic or sexual manner? Oh, well, it wasn't to the end. I say, bingo. There you go. Yeah. You got to, for me, and I know you know you know it works for you and your clients, so I'm not telling you to abandon what you do. I know that works for you. And it's just like other guests I've had, but just speaking for myself,
mm-hmm.
my big thing is I don't want to ever be in a situation where I'm talking to a woman for that long, 20 minutes or longer, with the potential of her saying, I'm already involved, I'm already married. I get my shit out within the first 2 to 3 minutes. I let women know that I'm talking to them because, number one, I want to get together with them, and even more specifically, I want to get together with them to fuck them.
Okay. Well, this is essentially what I'm saying for day game. I teach my students how to do it. I teach them. I teach both. I teach indirect and direct. But I prefer and I see better results with direct in the daytime. However, it does sometimes depend on the girl. I always mention my sister. My sister is the polar opposite to me. She's introverted. She's shy. And direct does not work on her. It does not. It doesn't matter how good the guy, even if he's good looking and fabulous and all the assets that people think that you need in order to make direct work, it does not work on her because she's too intimidated by it. And I've seen guys speak to her for half an hour. She's given her number purely as a friend, and it's been a slow burner. So they've had to go on a couple of dates with her, but they've managed to get her. It depends how much you want the girl or not, but some of them have to be slow burners. Me, I prefer direct. I can handle it. She can't. That's the problem. There's some girls that cannot handle it, and it doesn't mean that they're bad in bed or anything like that. It just means that it intimidates them too much. Now, you might not like that kind of girl. You might like very alpha women who are up for it. And in that case, you're filtering. What you're doing, you're filtering.
I look at it a little different. I tend, I guess, to use different terminology than what you use. This is what I tell men. This is my basic philosophy. I always tell men that every woman you approach is going to fall into one of four categories. One of these four. I found it to be, just based on all of my years of experience of approaching women, inevitably all women fall in these four categories, which is, number one, a reciprocator. A reciprocator would be a woman that, I'll use you as an example. If I approached you, and within the first 2, 3, 4 minutes of conversation, I let you know I wanted to fuck you, and you were like, shoot, Alan, I'm attracted to you too. Let's go. Let's do this. That would be a reciprocator. Rejector, similar in the sense that a rejector is just will let their lack of interest be known as quickly and straightforwardly as a reciprocator will let their interest be known. So that would be like if I approached you and let you know I wanted to exchange orgasms with you, and you said, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just not interested. I'm, you know, either I'm already in a relationship or you're not my type, whatever. Now, the two tricky parts is the latter two categories. The third category is what I call a pretender. A pretender is a woman who deep down is interested in you, but she's taken aback by your forward approach. And I would say, within the scope of how I explain things, that's what your sister would fall into the category with certain men, at least the men she's attracted to, is a pretender. That's a woman. She's going to give you a high degree of resistance. She's probably going to give you criticisms like you're too forward or you're too crass. But the key thing is, and one thing I did like about what I've read in your book so far,
mm-hmm.
is you talk about body language, eye contact, and voice tone, and you were talking about earlier about women's reactions and indicators of disinterest. One of the things I teach men is particularly when they're dealing with a pretender, is to watch body language. For example, if a woman moves away from you or walks away from you, that ain't a pretender. That's a rejecter or a time waster, which I'll get to in a second. But a pretender, what she's going to do is she's going to stay in the same spot. She might even, in some cases, move closer to you, but her verbiage is going to include a lot of criticisms. You know, like, oh, my God, I can't believe how forward you are. Golly, I mean, do you talk to all women this way? God, you're a little forward, blah, 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 blah. But at no point does she specifically say, I'm not interested in getting together with you. And then the final of the four categories, and this is what my most recent book is called, The Possibility of Sex, deals with, is what I call the time waster. And a time waster, in the same way I would say a pretender is a reciprocator that might be giving you an impression she's a rejecter, a time waster is just the opposite. That's a woman who will give you the misleading impression that she does have some degree of interest in you, but really she doesn't. Mm-hmm. She just wants flattering attention from you. She wants entertaining conversation from you. She might want a free lunch, free dinner, free movie, free concert from mm-hmm. you. Or she might want to use you as an empathetic listening ear, but when it comes to fucking, you ain't never getting the pussy. And so that's what my last book identifies. And speaking on the time waster, I'm going to ask you, let's say, like you talked about, you had either currently or in the past a couple of, as you call them, lipstick lesbian type friends. Mm-hmm. I knew a woman when I lived in L.A. I lived in L.A. for 6.5 years.
Nice.
That's exactly what she was. She was a lipstick lesbian. But she fell in the category of the time waster. She would basically interact with guys to toy with them, tease them.
Insecurity.
String them along. But she knew she wasn't going to give them no pussy.
Yes.
So my specific question to you would be, let's say you had some male clients, and also you had, I don't know, let's say at least two female friends that were lipstick lesbians that were looking to just toy with men, string them along,
mm-hmm.
basically make them feel like they might be going to get some pussy in the near future, but really they're not. What signs would you teach your male clients to look for in women like that? Not your rejectors, not the women who will just immediately give them a sign that they're disinterested, but I'm talking about women who are flirtatious to one degree or another, very friendly. Again, they're giving the guy the misleading impression that he might get the pussy, but in reality, they have no intentions of giving him the pussy.
You want me to tell you what I teach my students to...
For a woman like that. How do you teach men to identify attention whores or cock teasers?
I think identifying is pretty easy, no? I would rather teach, like, how they have to deal with them. I'd rather do that. How do you deal with an attention seeker with a lipstick lesbian? Well, she's doing it because obviously she wants sexual interest. She wants to be the center of attention. There's a lot of competition out there with a lot of beautiful girls, and she knows that, you know, she's got to the point, she's made her boobs big enough as possible with silicone. What's the next step to get attention? And she will be playing the whole I'm a lesbian kind of act. And what most guys do is men, this is where, and I mean this with all respect, this is the only time when men can be stupid, is when the dick switches on and the head switches off. So what happens is men start to believe the fantasy. They want to believe in the fantasy. They will hang around with this girl. They will enjoy the initial turn on that she's giving them, and what she's doing is she's lapping up the attention. And I wouldn't say she's laughing in her head, because on some level she might not even be aware of it too much, what she's doing. It's just become a cycle, and it kind of like feeds an ego, it feeds something, it feeds the monster, you could say. You have to always remember that if a girl's like that, and I'm like that to a certain extent, I don't dress around like, you know, a lesbian, and I don't go that far, but yeah, I do lap up attention, definitely. But it's always because it's filling up something that we don't have. There's something empty there.
women like that respond very well to what I like to call the dark side of game. They respond well if you play on their insecurities. So I teach guys to always say to the girls, you know, that's kind of nice, that's kind of cute, but it's not really turning me on. Or something along those lines where you can do better than that. You can be more explicit than that. Come on, you can do something better than that. And suddenly she's going to feel like, hey, this is the guy out of all the rest of the guys who's not that impressed by what I'm doing. He's not, you know, melting at my feet with desire. And she will, you'll become like an itch that needs to be scratched.
Well, see, I have to cut you off. I disagree with, because to me, you're more so describing how to deal with a pretender. I'm talking about a woman, like I used to work with women in L.A. who would brag about how they would meet guys and they would purposely string guys along.
Mm-hmm.
And what their main weapon was, and this is what I discuss in detail in my most recent book, is, and this is why I like direct, is because the number one thing time wasters work off of is the art of being vague and ambiguous. They don't specifically reciprocate your interests, but even more importantly, they don't specifically reject your interests. They will, for as long, whether it's just a few days, it could be a couple weeks, it could even be a month or two, until you basically force them to reciprocate or reject, they will just allow you, for example, to keep talking to them. They'll allow you to keep flattering them. But I'm talking about those women that there's no chance that they're going to give you the pussy. Not that even a 5% chance that, because to me, that's a pretender. If you can sway a woman to ultimately sleep with you, to me, that's not a time waster. That's a pretender.
But I don't know a woman where there's not a chance. I know women who've gone out in the evening and they've gone out as a virgin.
Wait. Stop right there. Sorry, I got to stop you on this. You said you don't know any woman that they have never told you that, let's use a guy, Brian, that Brian, I have absolutely no desire to sleep with Brian. You've never heard that from a woman.
Oh, a particular man, yes, but not going out in the evening saying I'm not going to sleep with any guy tonight. No, but I
really? Never ever.
They will say it, but it's bullshit. I know women who have gone out that evening as virgins and come back deflowered. Okay, honestly, virgins, women who have been holding on to their virginity like it's the Holy Grail for 21 years, and they've met some guy and they've given it to him around the corner, not even in a bed. So I think, yes, definitely there are women who go and say, look, I would never sleep with that one particular guy. Yes, I could definitely say that would stand true. Not always, but it stands true a lot of the time. But when a woman says, I'm definitely not going to have sex with anyone tonight, unless there might be a serious boyfriend involved or something, then I don't think that's always the case. No.
Well, I would say this, a lot of your fellow Brits are going to love you, but a lot of guys here in the United States, I can guarantee you, as they listen to this, they say, that's bullshit. Because one of the debates, there's this forum called the LSS forum that I go on from time to time, and sometimes I end up engaging in a lot of lighthearted debates, and some of the debates, honestly, are not so lighthearted. They get kind of intense, but if there's one debate where I've kind of been having about that deals with kind of U.S. culture versus British culture is when I talk about time wasters, at least two-thirds of the guys there, they'll say, well, Alan, we don't really have women who string men along and give them a false impression that they're going to have sex when they're not. They're just either interested in you or they're not. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because, see, U.S., that is, man, especially if you're talking about a major city like a L.A., New York, Chicago, I used to work with women who would, again, come in almost on a weekly basis and talk about that. Like they would say, yeah, we're going to go out to the club tonight, get some guys' dicks hard, get them to buy us free drinks, but we ain't going to fuck them. And I'd be like, damn, that's cold. That's very manipulative.
No,
and they would be like, well, that's manipulative. Call it what you want to, but.
Uh-huh. They say that. That's what their mouths are saying. They say that because it empowers them.
But I would disagree with it, that they're just saying it. I've seen women in action. I've seen women in action do this. There's some guys that women are just not going to fuck. And that's why I had a problem with your subtitle that your publisher gave you. I don't care what anybody says. There's some guys that are never going, like using you for example, there's some guys that are never, ever going to fuck you. It's that simple. They're never, ever going to fuck you. And regardless of whether it was a physical trait.
I disagree. There's also something called a slow burner. Yeah, you might not sleep with them that same night, but I had a student.
I call that, that's again, my term for that would be a pretender. I've dealt with pretenders, like women who I met, say, on Tuesday, and I was mole one with them, and they didn't reciprocate, or they didn't even necessarily have a positive reception to the things I said. But then on Thursday, Friday, matter of fact, you said you watched the videos from Direct Dating Summit. At least half of my stories, if not more, were to dealt with interactions with pretenders. Like I talked about this one woman I met when I was in L.A. I met this woman. She was of Japanese descent at Venice Beach. And I was there with my roommate. Now, if you had it on video, it was funny. If you would have had that scenario on video, when I first approached her, she was not receptive at all. She actually called me like an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
She told me I was way too forward, way too crass, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave her my card. Because I always, one thing I tell my clients, I say you should always carry around what I call contact cards. Mm-hmm. Some people call them business cards, but I call them contact cards. And anyway, I said, here's my card. I'm very confident that I'm here from you at some point in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. And she kind of gave me a look like, yeah, right, whatever. Sure enough, that was on a Saturday. That following Thursday, that woman called me, and she was talking about she shared with two girlfriends how bold my approach was and how it intrigued her and blah, blah, blah. Long story short, that following Saturday, me and her ended up fucking. And see, that would be a classic example of pretender. She didn't initially respond well. That's probably at least 60% of the women I've had casual sex with.
So you call them
women who initially.
You call one of them pretenders, and what's the one that you describe as the girl who, you know, no way is going to have sex with anyone?
That's a time waster. A time waster is a woman who is kind of the opposite of a pretender, whereas pretenders will initially act like they're not interested, but in the long run, they will acknowledge interest. A time waster is a woman who initially act like she is interested, but the more forward you get, the more specific and direct you get, the more she will acknowledge that she's not, that she really just wanted to have an entertaining conversation with you, or she just really wanted to enjoy your company in a pure, I mean, again,
this is the way I describe it, okay? I see what you're saying. I don't use the words that you're using, but I'm going to use them for the sake of this debate. Pretenders are easier, and time wasters are a lot more difficult. I don't think time wasters are essentially going to be an outright no. I think that is more difficult. It might need a different strategy, definitely, to what you use on time wasters, or pretenders, excuse me. But for time wasters, I would say, from what you're explaining to me, I have had students that have gone for time wasters and managed to get them. They've had to use a different strategy to what they would use on a pretender.
Well,
that's my opinion.
I have to say this emphatically, and this is with all due respect. But this is what I tell my clients, and listen, this is one of the major problems I have with people from the indirect side of things. That's one, to me, the major differences about indirect guys, or in this case, women, is that they tend to give their clients the impression that every woman is capable of being seduced. Every woman you approach. I vehemently disagree with that. I believe that there are some women that a given man like you, there's some man I think that would approach you and be able to seduce you and fuck you, no doubt. But then I believe there's a different percentage of women and group of men that I don't care if they came with their A-plus game, they're not going to end up fucking you or having you suck their dick.
Nothing's 100%, but I do believe...
So you're telling me that every man is potentially capable of fucking you? Every man who approaches you is potentially capable of fucking you.
A lot are.
If they adhere to your principles in your own book, you're saying every man who adheres to your principles could fuck you.
Not every man, no.
Okay, see, then you just supported my point then. You're saying right now that even if a man adhered to every single principle you espouse in your book, they still wouldn't be able to fuck you.
But they would be able to fuck another girl. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not debating that. I'm not saying that a woman who's a time waster is a time waster with every man she meets. So let me make that clear. Maybe that's what you misunderstood. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that a woman who's in these categories are in these categories with every single man they meet. I'm saying for a particular man. For example, let's say a woman named Linda. A woman named Linda might be a reciprocator with Tyrone. She might be a rejecter with Brian. She might be a pretender with Billy. And she might be a time waster with Larry.
But
how you see what I'm saying? So it's not that she's consistently.
But how would you know? That's the thing. Because initially, I've come across as a time waster. Initially, I have been a time waster. I've met guys, and I remember there was one guy. I was not interested in him sexually at all. He was very nice. He took me out for dinner, all the bullshit that women use guys for, and that's very, very, very common, by the way, guys, just to get that message out. Women do have a phone book full of guys saying, I'm hungry, who's going to take me to the nicest restaurant tonight? We do this, okay? I don't do it anymore, but I did it before I started running my own company. I'm just being very real here and honest. And I have been that girl who initially is a time waster. And if the guy had just said, well, she's a time waster, he wouldn't have ended up sleeping with me, which did happen on the third night. So there you go. You can be a time waster at the beginning, but you can change it. You can change it. And you can
We'll just have to agree to disagree. For me, a time waster is a woman. Again, If you can change a time waster, then as far as I'm concerned, she's not a time waster. That's a pretender.
But that's like saying that. Yeah, but then you can just say they're difficult girls. You can put it in one category.
I'm saying the best example I would give of a time. I give actually two examples. One would be the woman I already mentioned. I had a friend in L.A. who was what both of us would describe as a lipstick lesbian. She was very feminine, very attractive, very feminine, but she didn't like dick. She didn't like dick. That is as simple as that. She did not want a dick in her pussy.
Mm-hmm.
She only wanted a woman's tongue on her pussy. But she would do, though, is instead of just flat out rejecting guys and saying, hey, I'm a lesbian, I'm not interested in you, which would have made her a rejecter.
Okay.
What she would do instead is if she knew a guy, either one of two things, if she knew a guy either had an entertaining personality, she would keep that guy around for days, weeks, months, knowing that he wanted to fuck her. But his weakness was he was being vague and ambiguous. So because he was being vague and ambiguous, you could say he opened the door for her. And that's what my latest book explains, is that when you're a man, and this is why I'm against indirect game, is that when you're vague and ambiguous with women, that's when you open the door for a time waster. See, if you're more one or very specifically direct, that's when you're not going to interact with a time waster, because a woman, that's what my approach is built upon. I approach women from the standpoint that by the end of this conversation, I'm going to either get you to reciprocate my sexual desires and interests, or I'm going to get you to specifically say, no, Alan, I'm not interested in having sex with you. Either or. And I'm not going to allow you to get away with a, well, I might be interested in you. Let's kind of play it by ear and see how I go. See, I don't allow that type of response. I'm either going to get you to say, yes, I'm interested in giving you some pussy, or no, I'm not interested in giving you some pussy.
But you know what? Your friend from L.A., that's an extreme case. That's a hardcore, proper, full-on lesbian. This is someone that...
But I've met heterosexual women. I'm telling you. And this is the same debate I have. Again, I'm thinking it might be just a UK versus US thing, because even a lot of the males for Ben. They say they don't deal with a lot of women who like to purposely string women along. But I guarantee you, you talk to any large group of guys here in the U.S., they will say, oh, yeah, man, women are major attention whores.
I have been the time waster. This is what I'm saying to you. I have been the time waster. I have been the girl who's gone out there with a plan. I've looked at the guy. I thought, not interested, not a hell's chance that I'm going to sleep with this guy. I have been that girl. And he has pursued. He has pursued a different way to you, but he has pursued his own way. And it came into fruition. He got the results. And I was that time waster. I wasn't a pretender. I didn't even have one slight hair of attraction for him. But he pursued. He plowed. Whatever word you want to
call it. But again, that's not a time waster. If you started off not being interested in a guy, and a guy over a period of days, weeks, months, or even years, ended up getting you in bed. By my definitions and my categories, I would not put that in time where I would say you were, in that scenario, you were a pretender. I've dealt with a lot of pretenders. That's what my third book is about. Who Said Again? It's about overcoming pretenders. But I'm talking about, again, the women. Like, I'll send you a link to a previous interview I did. If I had to think of a guest I had on this show that would fall in that category, it was this woman, black woman here in the U.S. named Beige Fletcher. She wrote this book about being a gold digger. And that's basically what she talked about. She talked about the main guys she takes advantage of are guys who she's, number one, not interested in, and she knows they want to fuck her, but they don't have the balls to come straight out and tell her that they're vague and ambiguous. So as a result, she plays them. Like, she had a guy spend $2,000 on her on a shopping spree, and he didn't even get a fucking tongue kiss. And she got stories of other men she just manipulated and misled. And again, the only way it happens is when you allow a woman to be vague and ambiguous. When you're specific and straightforward, a time waster is not even going to exist. She's either going to be a reciprocator or a rejecter or maybe possibly a pretender. But time waste is not going to exist when you – but the one comment you made that validates and supports everything I'm saying is when I just asked you, I said, so you would acknowledge that there's some guys that even if they followed every piece of your advice, they still would not be able to fuck you. That's all I need to hear.
Of course, yes. But in some cases, I would have said in that percentage that would I have never have fucked, they have fucked me.
Ooh, say it again.
No. Ooh, say it again.
I like the way you say, you emphasize the F. Say it again. Say fuck.
Fuck.
Say it again.
Feck.
Oh, look at that.
I'm being annoying, I know. That's my right as a woman to be annoying. So I was actually, you keep saying I was a pretender, but I was not. I was exactly your definition of a time waster. And I would have put him in that category of guys that it doesn't matter what technique you'd have used, he would not have been able to sleep with me. But
wait a minute. Let me ask you this. Every guy you interact with for a period of time, you end up fucking.
No. That's a lot of the time.
No, is the answer yes or no?
Yeah, no. Because
no. Okay. That's my first question. Let me follow that up with this then. Do you have currently or in the recent past, have you had men that when you guys shared each other's company, the only thing that really took place was a lot of entertaining conversation?
Yes.
Or you guys might have went to the movies together, you might have went to a concert together, but
no
sex happened?
Yes.
Okay. Now, thinking of those guys in that category, did they specifically tell you that they wanted to fuck you and you rejected them? Was there any guy where it was vague and ambiguous whether or not where he kind of kept his desires to himself? He didn't come out specifically and directly and say, Kezia, I want to fuck you.
Oh, there was loads that didn't do that. Yeah, there was only a couple that probably would have done who actually came out with it.
So there's been dozens of men who interacted with you platonically, but they never came out and said, Kezia, I want to fuck you.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, thinking about this same group of guys.
Yeah.
Let's think of five of those type of guys and put them in your head right now. And let me ask you, if all five of those guys were to suddenly say, Kezia, I'm sorry for not letting you know this in a more forthright manner early on, but all this time that I've been hanging out with you and going to movies with you, et cetera, I've been wanting to fuck this shit. I want to fuck the shit out of you.
I had it. I've had that. And
what was your response?
Okay. There was three of them that I went back to and we ended up having a relationship with. And I would say because you're looking at five here, and I've managed to pluck five in my mind, and two of them I actually admitted to them the same old line, which is, I just want to be friends, which a lot of girls use. And if you want to say that I was a genuine time waster with those two, but not the other three, that's your call. You can have that opinion, Alan.
Yeah, well, I would. Well, it depends on if I would call you a time waster or not. Now, if it was a situation where those two who you wouldn't have reciprocated their interests, you genuinely just didn't know that they were attracted to you.
No,
and
I
you
didn't.
Generally
I'm
thought that they wanted to be friends with you.
In that case,
I wouldn't call you a time waster. But if it was a situation where you knew that these two guys wanted to fuck you, but you also enjoyed their company, so you never wanted to specifically tell them, no, I'm never going to give you the pussy, then yes, I will call you a time waster in that scenario.
I've been a time waster, and I've been a pretender. I'm using your words here. I wouldn't use these words. I'm using your words here for the sake of the interview, and because the people who are listening to this are your followers. So I'm going to use your terminology here. But I know you don't want to hear me say this, but I've been a genuine time waster and the guy has managed to sleep with me. Now, we can agree to disagree on this point.
Well, I said that. We just have to agree because, again, the way I lay out, and I'll send you I was curious. I'm gonna send you a complimentary copy of my last book, but no, I supported you and bought your book. So y'all want you to buy my latest book called, because it's only like the price of a McDonald's value meal, but it's called, I'll send you a link to it. It's called The Possibility of Sex, and that's my one book where I deal specifically with time waster types, and you'll get
darling,
a better understanding. But again,
darling,
I would just rest on the argument that if a man is able to ultimately seduce you, I would vehemently disagree that you were a time waster. And that means you were a pretender. That's a pretender. A pretender is when a woman suppresses interest or even she believes she's not interested in a guy, but at some point later on, that guy is able to, as I call it, turn her interest. That's a pretender. Time waster is when there's 0% chance that you are going to give a guy the pussy, but you don't specifically tell him that. That would be the simplest way to describe it.
And
is when you have 0% sexual interest in a guy, but you don't come out and say, hey, Larry, I got to let you know, I'm never, ever going to fuck you. I just want to let you know that. I'm never going to fuck you.
Two things. I've said it again. I've been a time waster, and they've turned it around, and no, I wasn't a pretender. And secondly,
if you turned around, that means you didn't have 0% interest in them. How
I
can you
did.
Turn around if you have 0%
did.
Interest in a woman?
I did. Guarantee you I did. And the
now, you
thing,
thought you had 0% interest in that guy.
I thought. That's still strong enough, isn't it, then, if I thought. And secondly, I don't know. I don't eat McDonald's. So I don't know how much a McDonald's meal is.
Well, in the U.S., a value meal is usually about $4 or $5. And I don't know what the current rate of exchange is, but let's just say until October 31st, this is one of my least expensive books. So
I have to
I'm
going to
send
you
a link to it. No, you know what I might do? I might send you a complimentary copy of that, and I'm going to ask for your email address, but I want you to buy Who Said Again, since I bought your book and supported
you.
I'm
going to buy it,
buy
put the title.
Yeah, because speaking of these two categories I keep throwing out, these two books deal with each one. Like, Who Said Again, you could say is my book about dealing with pretenders and overcoming, you know, initial lack of interest, and Possibility of Sex is my book that deals with time wasters. So right now, take the time to tell my listeners where they can find you on the World Wide Web and any new books you might have coming out in the near future, an event or a conference or workshop you might have coming out, anything like that?
Okay. First of all, thank you for having me on your show. You know, and thank you for being so honest with me, because a lot of people in the community, a lot of the pickup guys, they don't like a woman joining their boys-only club. I completely understand that. I think that the success of my students, the amount of video testimonials I've got, and you can't fake these video testimonials, they is proof that I really do help my students get results with women. Another thing is, there's a few female dating coaches now. I've kind of like, I would say, opened the gates, and I'm quite worried about that, because there's a lot of female dating coaches out there who are not very good. They pretend to be bisexual, they pretend to be lesbians, they pretend to be that so that they can literally cock tease you into buying their products. I've always been consistent. I've always been known as the bitch of the heart. I have never, ever changed my image or style. I will not go on a podcast and start agreeing with the host, as you can see. Just
because... No shit.
Would have sat here, would have gave you a fucking boring interview, and sat there and go, yes, Alan. Yes, Alan, I agree with you. Yes, I agree with everything you're saying. Now buy my book. Now go to my website. And they will do that. And they will do that, and you'll go to their website, and you'll see that it's teaching completely opposite everything that you're saying. So I am real. I'm 100% real. I'm not like these other female dating coaches. I'm no head nodder. I'm not going to agree with anyone if I don't agree with it. Thank you so much for doing this. And, yeah, I hope people like the show, and I hope I've been as genuine and real with you as possible, and I've given you some, an interesting show also. And it's great to speak to Alan, who's exactly from the same page as me, where he will call up someone on something if he doesn't agree with it. So it's been a really fun podcast. You can check out my website, www.kezia-noble.com. Check out my blog, check out my boot camps, my 7-day pickup mastery course. Check out all my products there, Deep Connection, 10 Hook Leases, some conversation skills, ebooks on the products page. Check out the live training page. Check out my brilliant team of wing girls and fabulous, fabulous instructors. We have no set method. We just have fantastic, incredible information to share with you. So you can get a free ebook on my website. You can have a free gift. You can watch all the videos. For free that we recorded on the recent transformation event, packed with 5-6 hours of material. There's a free video lesson with me, and there's a free ebook, 10 Rapid Ways to Get a Woman Interested in You. So get yourself that. And, okay, I'm done.
All right, listeners, that's going to do it for tonight's interview and discussion with Ms. Kezia Noble. I thank Ms. Noble greatly for this interview. I thought the interview was a great discussion, and it covered a lot of bases, and just much props to her. She's a wonderful, charismatic young woman. I wish her nothing but continued success. Remember, there will be no show next week. No show next week. I'll be back on the air 2 weeks from tonight on Thursday, November 8th. I will return. For all of those who live in the path of Hurricane Sandy, please be careful. My prayers are with you. That hurricane has already killed a number of people in both Cuba and the Bahamas, and hopefully the damage and casualties will be minimal here in the States. Have a safe, enjoyable, productive weekend and week. And again, I will see you 2 weeks from tonight. Take care.